in the Kingdom of Nye from west of the Rockies at 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach Art at 1-775-727-1222. And the wildcard line is open at 1-775-727-1295. To reach Art on the toll-free international line, call your AT&T operator and have them dial 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell from the Kingdom of Nye.
You know, I think I picked this song to open this hour, and yes, we've already been on for an hour. Surprise, surprise to those of you joining at this hour. May do the same thing tomorrow night, begin an hour early. Just changing the schedule a little so we can have further network continuous coverage. Well, I've been watching the coverage nonstop all day long, and you know what? I have a feeling of pending trouble. So I thought the song would be just right. I really, in watching the coverage all day today, that's the conclusion I'm personally coming to. I've got a feeling of something really big and bad pending. I don't want to seem to be on the negative side here, but having watched the coverage all day long, we're clearly headed to war. No question about that. We're headed to war. Having watched the coverage all day today, I'm going to have to say it ain't over yet, and not by a long shot. In fact, I think the danger continues. And I don't want to scare anybody, but the news has just been full today of people trying to get on aircraft, impersonating pilots, that kind of thing, Middle Eastern people. And the reports are just too many, and they're all over the place. LaGuardia and JFK had to close again after eight individuals were arrested at those airports trying to get on airplanes, one with a pilot's ID. And there are more reports of that sort of thing at this hour, and more arrests. There are arrests and raids and searches going on all over the place. The number of people involved in this would appear to be many, many. So I think it would indeed be premature to say it's over. And I'm talking about the attack on America. I don't think the attack on America is over at all, and the war has not yet begun. So many things we could talk about. I've watched just about every inch of coverage, so anything you would like to pick up on, I did a more thorough open that you'll hear later, if you're up late. But I have this this pending feeling of something about to happen, and I would like to believe that it's over and we're safe. But it's not, and we're not. Just one more thing. I wonder how many of the rest of you are beginning to experience this. I come to you tonight with about 3 hours sleep. That's all I had from about 5:30 yesterday morning now until about 8:30 this morning. And I haven't slept since. And the reason is I have been glued to this coverage. And it's definitely affecting me, doing these programs with all of you and being so intimately involved with every single aspect, every single report, every single hope that then becomes dashed about survivors. It's affecting me, and I bet it's affecting a lot of you, too. And that may be one of the reasons for my somewhat troubled outlook with respect to the immediate future. I really feel this ain't over, not by a long shot. And I'm talking again about the danger to America. I think that it's being understated. Although if you actually watch behavior, you watch airports closing, people being arrested all over the place, concern, it's obvious to the authorities that the danger is not yet over. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art.
Hi.
Hi, this is Jenny. I'm originally from Medford, Oregon. I'm a truck driver.
Oh.
So right now I'm in Ohio.
Okay.
But one of the things that I wanted to say about this terrible, terrible tragedy, one of the things that I've seen is that the news brief is saying that the security and the safety of America was, you know, not there. It's one of the things that they're saying now today in about the security and the safety is that they're telling everybody that Cheney is now down in Camp David.
Yeah, there you go.
Because
listen, if you have a radio on in the background, turn it off, please.
Oh, okay. It's
very confusing to everybody concerned. And
Good. Well, one of the things is that they said that the they want the president and the vice president in separate areas for safety concerns, which is understandable.
Yes.
Okay. But what they don't need to do is they don't need to tell the world over their broadcast that the world listens to. They don't need to tell the world where these guys are staying at. Why are they doing that? They're giving away our safety all over again.
Listen, has it occurred to you that what they say publicly and what may be true privately may be two very different things?
But at the same time, they're giving the foreigners targets again.
Yeah. Well, is there any way you believe this is over?
This is only the beginning. You know, it started, you know, back when they tried the World Trade Center once before and didn't succeed and everybody went into jail. Now it's like they're doing it again. They succeeded this time, like the press said. They tried once before. Now they succeeded. I mean, that got to a lot of people's hearts right there.
Yep, I agree. Thank you very, very much for the call. We're going to be in open lines all night long. As I've said in previous nights, I could recite to you and sit here and sort of do a reporting job and try to do a weak CNN, but they're doing a great job, just a great job of what they're doing. And so instead, I thought just to give you a voice and to sort of take the temperature of America, that's what I'm doing, taking the temperature of the nation. And I think it's up 2 or 3 degrees already this morning. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, how you doing?
Well, you've been listening, right?
Yeah, it's a pleasure to talk to you again.
Thank you.
I had a question and a comment.
Okay.
My question is on the MSNBC news article. It's talking about a DOD official saying that they have a great hammer or something like that that they can unleash, and they wouldn't give his name or, you know, anything else about it. And I was wondering if you knew anything about it.
No,
weapon.
No, that's why it's a secret weapon, sir, because they didn't tell Art Bell.
Well, I think it's time that they use some of that.
What might we have? God, you could just use your imagination for that.
Well, I'm sure we have a lot. I think they should start using that.
Space-based weapons, things that would come from the sky like fire, who knows?
Yeah, I think they should start using that to our benefit. And my comment is, I think we should, test the hydrogen bomb out.
See, you don't really mean that.
Well,
you can't really mean that.
Well, I hope it doesn't happen, but I think it might come. I mean, my worst fear is it's going to escalate into a major world war.
Oh, there's always that risk.
And that's what worries me the most.
I appreciate your call, sir. There's always that risk. I would never deny that. But in terms of just unleashing the H-bomb, or as you put it, testing it, on what would be a large civilian populace, no. No, 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 no. There are ways to accomplish our goals militarily with force that don't have to include the use of nuclear weapons. Whew. You see, that's the anger. You know, that kind of anger is coming right along, folks. However, as you modified your statement toward the end there about it escalating to that point, there is always that risk. Wars have a tendency to escalate. Today's friends can be tomorrow's enemies. That kind of thing. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hello, Mr. Bell. How are you this evening?
Well.
I can hear it. A couple of key points from here in California. I think a lot of us are very angry. And as a young professional, I agree with the gentleman that called in earlier saying that we're ready. And what I think the rest of America forgets is that we are the grandchildren and great-grandchildren of the greatest generation. We were raised by them because both of our parents worked. And so that was a generation that raised us. They were the ones that instilled those values in us. And talk about a sleeping, you know, nation, it's the 25 and younger. And we're ready. And actually, after work today, went and sat with a few friends from work. We all agreed that if there is a declaration of war, there were five of us there, and all of us agreed that we would go enlist. And I think that people don't realize that it takes a lot for us to get angry, but when someone, you know, breaks in our back door of our home,
yes,
kills our family members,
yes,
we're angry.
Yes, I have had...
And we have to protect our home.
I've been on the air during several wars and problems now the U.S. has had, and inevitably... We had many, many incredibly heated debates with the majority of people calling up and saying, I wouldn't fight for that, you know, referring to oil or a lot of other things that they wouldn't fight for. But let me tell you something. Inevitably, those people came back and also said, if they were to attack America, by God, I'd fight. And so they have attacked America.
I will put my Birkenstocks in the closet and I'll give up the granola. You know, send me where I need to go. And I think that's the general attitude of most so-called laid-back Californians, is they have made us very angry. Second point that I'd like to make is that I don't think we have any illusions about what war is. We heard those stories on the knees of our grandfathers. We know what that is like. It's not a pushing a button.
Well...
You know, it really is not.
How old did you say you were, 24?
24.
The only war that you really remember would be the button-pushing type.
That's all I remember. However, I grew up on the knee of my grandfather.
Who told you stories.
Absolutely, and my great-grandfather. Mm-hmm. And people forget that we are the grandchildren and the great-grandchildren of the greatest generation this country's ever seen. And sometimes I get irritated when I hear people say, well, can you imagine this generation going to war? They wouldn't be able to make the sacrifices. Yes, we would. And I would also like to encourage any Muslim family out there that's feeling persecuted to start within their mosque, to gather together their young men, take them down to the local recruiting office, get a news camera down there, and say, we're willing to have our sons and daughters fight for America. And with a couple of shots like that, you'd stop seeing the persecution, and, you know, people would be questioning the loyalty.
Do you remember those scenes of the Palestinians celebrating?
Absolutely.
A lot of the people who showed those scenes are receiving death threats by the bucketful. You know, they say either stop showing that or you're dead.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I appreciate the call. That's a whole nother issue. Arab Americans are having a rough day and days ahead. There's a lot of nasty stuff going on out there, and I don't know how to curb it. I don't know how we can curb it. I think that most of you, intelligent adults, my listeners, would not be the sort to do that. I would like to think that, anyway. Well, I must say I don't know that to be true for sure. I think the majority of you certainly would feel that way. Would harbor no ill will towards somebody who is here as a citizen or even a soon-to-be citizen. You wouldn't take out your anger and frustration at those people, would you? But apparently there are a lot of people across the nation that are doing that. A wild card line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art. How are you?
Everybody asks.
You know what? I said to myself I wouldn't ask that, and what did I do? just to tell you, it's an honor to talk to you, and I really think you're providing a valuable service to the nation, and not only about this subject, but many others.
Thank you.
there are two things I want to mention, and one of the things is, like you, I'm concerned that this isn't over. And one thing I haven't heard anyone mention yet is this, and that's that some of the hijackers were highly trained pilots.
Obviously.
And I think they would understand what kind of reaction country would have to what they did, which would be the grounding of the planes. At least they would have anticipated that, because I'm sure they're semi-intelligent.
True.
The other thing that concerns me is, you notice just about the time that the airlines decide to start flying again, a group of, like you said, I'm not sure if they were Afghan or Israeli or whatever, the people that, the Middle Eastern people that got...
Arrested
trying to board a plane.
Yes.
Well, first of all, I would think you'd have to be a total idiot to be a Middle Eastern person and have a fake ID as a pilot and try to expect that you're going to be able to get on a plane at this time. So my concern is that, of course, they're willing to give away their life for things like that. So why wouldn't one of them agree to be arrested just to keep our planes on the ground. In other words, I don't think that pilot or any of them intended on actually getting through, but knew that they would get arrested and caught.
It's a possibility.
And that this would keep our planes on the ground even longer if they knew that the planes would be grounded again.
Well, it sure did close up LaGuardia and JFK quick enough, didn't it?
Absolutely, and it makes me wonder what they would have to gain by keeping our planes on the ground. And I don't think it's a matter of disrupting air traffic, and I'm afraid that if their network is a lot larger than we think, there may be some things going on the ground to the planes that may cause issues later.
Yeah, I guess I'm beginning to believe that. I had a hard time believing that so many could have been involved. Now I'm thinking it's more than they even presently imagine, that it's a pretty damn big conspiracy, and so it's not over.
Right, and it seems so obvious to me that you would have to be an idiot to think you would be able to get on a plane with a fake ID and be a Middle Eastern.
Mm-hmm.
That I know your listeners are intelligent, and I would like everyone out there to kind of, you know, that's as far as I can go with this theory, but I'd like anyone out there to think about what they could possibly gain by keeping our planes on the ground for just a few more days.
Listen, my friend, it's as good a theory as any out there right now. Thank you.
And one other thing I would like to mention, if I could.
Yes?
I've seen, you know, I noticed a lot of times in buildings during, you know, peacetime, I would say, they have people going in and cleaning up asbestos, and they usually wear those masks and the filters and everything.
Right.
And I would urge, instead of money, any of the manufacturers of any of these filters and masks would like to donate those to the people helping with the recovery.
That's an excellent idea, my friend. Thank you. There were dire warnings earlier today crawling across the screen of most of the news networks about lung damage. And, of course, you've seen the pall. I'm sure you've seen the pall above New York, which has been there now since this occurred and will no doubt be there for quite some time to come yet. They were saying they weren't so much worried about asbestos, but they were worried about lung damage from particulate material, and that would probably apply to the rescuers first, and then, of course, New Yorkers who are breathing this in as well. So that's a pretty good idea. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, it's Tim.
Hi, Tim. Where are you?
I'm in Columbus.
Columbus, Ohio. Okay. Go ahead.
I was just calling listening to the radio about the guys that hijacked the plane.
Yes.
I think a lot of those guys were just, they were pawns more than anything. I think people's giving them too much credit.
Well, the reason they're being given credit is because it was a long, carefully planned operation. They had to learn how to fly aircraft. They went to school right here in America to fly our aircraft. And so pawns, perhaps, but I don't know, sir.
I think there's a head to the chicken somewhere. I think Bin Laden is one. He's one guy you could look at, but I think there's a lot more there than just him.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a whole group of them, maybe.
That may well be. It may be a consortium of terrorist organizations doing this. Who knows? On the international line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, how are you?
Well, sir, how are you, and where are you?
Not too bad. I'm in Australia, actually.
Okay.
I think what a lot of people are missing here in Australia and also the United States is that this is a psychological war, you know. The more people that they can put on planes and the flight guards, people that got arrested and so forth, the more that they will cripple the West economically.
Well, in a way, you're saying what the last caller said, that they may never have intended to actually get on an aircraft in the first place,
no.
To just essentially shut down the airports and the stop the planes again. And, of course, to some degree, it's been successful. Those two airports are closed.
Well, that's exactly right, because I mean, really, if we go to battle, who are we going to fight? We're fighting shadows. I mean, we're not fighting armies like, you know, the Japanese or the Germans. We knew where the armies were. In this case, we don't know.
Well, we don't know yet. I'm going to hold it there because we're right here at the bottom of the hour. We don't know yet. I like that man. If you're anywhere else in the world, I should remind all of you, we have a toll-free international line. You can get the code, the country code for your country on my website, artbell.com. And then, or you can go to the AT&T operator, and we'd urge you to do so toll-free from anywhere in the world. Have her dial 800-893-0903. From the high desert, this is Coast to Coast AM.
Rechard Bell in the Kingdom of Nye. From west of the Rockies, dial 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers may Rechard at 1-775-727-1222 or use the wildcard line at 1-775-727-1295. To Rechard on the toll-free international line, call your AT&T operator and have them dial 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell on the Premier Radio Networks.
Earlier in the day, I watched CNN as a young lady interviewed people on the street in New York, hundreds of them, with photographs of begging to get airtime to have their loved one, I don't know, noticed. Has anybody seen my husband, my wife, my children? That kind of thing. It was heartbreaking, and at the end of it, she cried, just broke down into tears. That kind of thing is going on all over the place. Now we hear that the Fox report that Ken had been found alive is inaccurate. They're saying now it's not true. As earlier today, the five firefighters who were supposedly in the SUV, that one turned out to be wrong as well. Absolutely heartbreaking stuff. This whole thing is heartbreaking, and I've got this awful feeling about what lies directly ahead, and I really hope I'm wrong. I just don't have a good feeling. After watching all day long today, and maybe it's my lack of sleep, but it doesn't feel good at all. Boy, the truth is a pretty slippery thing, isn't it? Those of you who have joined me, and I'm sure it's a legion out there, in watching nonstop this coverage, you know exactly what I mean. First-time caller line, you're on the air. Hello?
Yes, Art.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I know what you mean about the videos of the past couple days have changed my brain connections forever, you know. Anyways, the last 20 years I've been an activist. Abby Hoffman was my mentor.
Oh, you really were an activist.
Well, I've been trying to teach people ethics and let angry people know that one can express anger without guns or bombs.
Mm-hmm.
But I couldn't get through. There was just so much meaningless trash the masses seemed to be involved with. It was actually like being stuck in the audience of a never-ending Jerry Springer show. You know, a bigger bunch of silly, ignorant, apathetic, but politically correct pussies one couldn't find.
And now?
I kind of gave up, but now, just in the last couple of years, I was involved with the movement against police brutality.
Mm-hmm.
And, they never understood that I wasn't anti-police. It was all about police brutality and the abuse of power.
And since the other day?
Now I'm ready to stand side by side with the police. I mean, you know, we have a common enemy now, and everything's changed, you know. I think we as Americans need, that's just what we need to do. And go into this sanely, though, and, you know, not take a path that we can't come back from once we start.
All right. That's amazing, and it's amazing how times change to go from where you were to where you are. There are obviously new, fresh fears out there about flying and about planes and about security and about, you know, they're moving the vice president around. And I'm telling you, this is far from over. And by that, I mean the attack on America. I don't think it's over. I think there are still people who were involved in that same conspiracy who are out there doing something right now. It's the last thing you want to think. But that's tonight's feeling. That's what I've got. I don't see how you could watch the coverage all day today and not imagine that yourself. A wild card line, you're on the air. Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, you're on the air, ma'am.
Oh, okay. I had a few points that you were discussing earlier about the images of Satan that they felt has come through the clouds of smoke. And one thing that I found quite poignant was the fact that if we view those images, we are bringing those images of Satan into our own lives and our own world. And possibly we need to start focusing on the people, the survivors, the stories of those who actually have lived through it. Because if we retaliate against anyone and we even cause one unnecessary death in another country, we are no different than the evil that attacked us.
No, I disagree with you completely.
How's that?
Well, the people, ma'am, that attacked us. Finally today, I heard someone come out and say, It was Gephardt, as a matter of fact. Representative Gephardt said that this attack was worse than Pearl Harbor, and I've been saying that since the very beginning. It's worse than Pearl Harbor because at least the Japanese targeted, went after primarily military targets to try to stop us, even though it was a surprise Harbor attack, from projecting power into the Pacific, right?
Correct.
All right. In the attack that occurred on the Twin Towers on New York, it was an attack intended to kill civilians. Now, that's a big difference. That's a really big difference. And if we attack another country, whether it be Afghanistan, Pakistan, or whoever, we will not go in with the intent of killing civilians. We will go in with the intent of killing the people who did this to us and punishing the countries, probably by blowing up their infrastructure, punishing them for harboring these people. Now, that seems completely reasonable to me. If you're talking about war, and that is what we're talking about here, war. So if some innocents are killed, that's very unfortunate. It's called, the PC term is collateral damage. It's very unfortunate, but that's war. And that's the way we fight war. We don't fight war the way they tried to come at us, did come at us by targeting civilians. We don't target civilians. That is a difference.
Yeah, that does make a difference. Now, I think the curiosity that everybody has is whether or not we can actually get to Osama bin Laden if he is the one that is in charge.
It's going to take ground troops to do that.
And do you feel that the U.S. military is prepared for that?
Yes.
That's what, and I agree with you, that is what does change the entire image. Like I said, my concern, again, was, you know, the images of Satan and everything else, that we're bringing all this negativity into everybody now. You know, it's sad that people in society, they're targeting Muslims. I live in Salt Lake City, and I am scheduled to be working sound for the opening ceremonies and closing ceremonies of the Olympics. And the general consensus here is we don't want the Olympics here now because it's already been proven that nobody is safe. You know, we have to begin to protect ourselves better.
Mm-hmm.
And as you said, you can make weapons out of anything.
That's right.
You can make weapons out of the telephone that is connected to the seat in front of you.
I don't know why. You're so right, ma'am. Thank you very much. You can make shanks. You can cut throats. You can even just have people with enough strength to break necks. And you can sit back in the back of the plane breaking the necks of stewardesses until somebody comes. And then you rush the cockpit. So I don't for one second think taking steak knives away from first-class passengers and not allowing pocket knives onto airplanes, maybe it's an okay idea, but it's not going to change anything. Perhaps making the doors absolutely impenetrable from the rear of the plane, the cockpit doors, that might have some effect. Getting sky marshals on planes might have some beneficial effect. But as they always do, they're... You know, I just think they're not coming at this quite the right way. But they have to be seen doing something, so they're doing something. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Art. This is Mike from Cleveland.
Yes, sir.
I was just watching the CNN program, because I watch it a lot.
Yeah.
And I said to myself, what did they gain by blowing up the Twin Towers of the Pentagon? I mean, we can't make a...
That was the World Trade Center and the Pentagon. You mean the World Trade Center and
World
the Pentagon.
World Trade Center, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've been pondering the same thought, because normally you would expect a claim of credit and a demand for some sort of change in our national policy toward, the Middle East or whatever.
Yep.
In this case, they have said nothing. They have demanded nothing. And so you can only imagine that it is terror for the sake of terror.
Well, Dick, if since we've been bombed the Pentagon, isn't that an act of war? Right off the bat, Art?
Yes, it's an act of war.
Good.
I thank you for the call. You bet it's an act of war. We're about to go to war. It'll be the first war of the 21st century, and I wonder what it's going to be like, don't you? On the face of it, it seems as though we are just going to go in and bang up some infrastructure, take out military capability, and go after one guy, right? Or one guy and his guys. Osama bin Laden, if it turns out he's the one. And increasingly, it's obvious he is. Now, why do I think that somewhere between our beginning to do that, and this whole thing ending, it'll be more than that. I don't know. I just have this horrid little feeling. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello.
And by the way, don't interpret that to mean that I don't think we ought to do it, because I do. Where are you, sir?
Kennewick, Washington.
Okay. Welcome to the show.
My name is Victor.
Okay.
I'm 36 years old.
All right.
So I've not ever seen anything quite like this in my lifetime.
None of us have.
Well, some people I have. World War II. I grew up listening to my grandfather. He fought in World War II. Tell me the stories, and I've been a World War II buff a lot of my life, checking out, you know, a lot of the stuff. And
so what do you think about this?
It's very tragic, and I've been shocked, angry. I've been through the seven stages of grief many times in the last few days. There's a lot I'd like to say, but obviously there's not time. What I would like to say is, you know, during World War II, we did some things with Japanese Americans, mm-hmm. Italian Americans, and German Americans that That's maybe right. weren't exactly the right thing to do.
You know, sir, you would like to think, thanks for bringing that up, you would like to think that a lot has changed. After all, we apologized for the internment. We paid reparations. We had a lot of ceremonies as a nation apologizing to the Japanese for what we did. Right? How different do you perceive the day when we had the internment camps and today? How really different is it? If this continues to spiral up out of control the way it's going right now, exactly how different do you think it's going to be now than it was then with respect to how we treat our enemies? Something to ponder. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, sir. You're on the air. Where are you?
Phoenix.
Phoenix, okay.
It's a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you.
I have a question, and I've been up for 2 days watching this stuff, and
mm-hmm.
it's just an amazing, it's unbelievable. I had a question as to why or if the United States government or whoever would put up a reward of some staggering amounts of money to have somebody go get these people.
No, I don't think so. That would be seen as the U.S. government offering to pay for what the U.S. government should be doing.
Well, I understand that. This would be, in effect, something that could be put up after the United States government gets done to keep these. I mean, you get mercenaries out there looking for money, and you know, if the price is right, you're going to get these people, and you're going to get them for good, and you're going to have people hunting them down like the mangy dogs they are.
Well, as a general reward for turning in terrorists, I think that's a really good idea.
And you know, if this hasn't been thought of, at least in the future, maybe it'd be a good idea after the United States gets done with the initial wave of getting these things out of society.
I think that's a stellar idea, actually. And you know, as you would give a reward for a lot of other crime reporting, then why not give a reward for reporting a possible and a good big monetary one for reporting acts of mass death, mass terrorism? Sure. Pretty good idea, actually. A first-time caller line, you're on the air. Hello? Going once, going twice, gone. I think that was a cell phone call. Here's another one. Wild card line, you're on the air.
Hey, this is Brian. I'm a truck driver. I'm a little north of Dallas-Fort Worth split right now.
Yes, sir.
You know, I'm thinking, I've often thought that it was rather odd that nobody, you know, we used a nuke in World War II. Nobody's used one in combat since.
That's right.
But eventually, somebody will, just a matter of time. And once somebody uses that first, even if it's tactical, it'll just make it that much easier for the second one.
My guess, sir, would be the first nuke used in anger is probably going to be used by a terrorist.
Could be. You know, the Pakistanis got them. The, India's got them.
Yes.
Oh, man. I would not doubt that this, I mean, there was a show on, I don't know, something yesterday, CNN or one, they were interviewing some fellow from, he was a Russian war consultant or something like that. Anyway, he was talking about all the different countries, British and Russians. Well, they all went to war there and, wherever the hell it is, this guy's there. But, none of them had been, because of the terrain and the just the people, none of them have been able to get in there and take this place over.
Mm-hmm. Well, this time, it's going to require troops. There's no question about it. We can send in all the cruise missiles we want, do offshore bombardment, all of the things, we normally do. And it's going to cause Bin Laden and company to get their heads down. They'll go flying into their caves. Make no mistake about it. After the bombs fall, after the cruise missiles cruise, this time, if you want to get the job done, you're going to have to send Marines, U.S. Marines, and other service people in on the ground. And that has a very different kind of meaning. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
How you doing, Art Bell?
I'm okay, sir.
I'm calling from near Youngstown, Ohio.
Okay.
We're not too far away from where the fourth plane crashed, didn't get to its target.
That's right. You wouldn't be that far away.
Good possibility. May have flew near where we live.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's some real heroes here, the guys who may have taken over that airplane.
Well, you've got that right. I don't think it's may have. I think that we have all the evidence we need right now to start passing out the nation's highest award for bravery. My God, what those men did.
Absolutely. Find the wives of these people. Give them that. I don't know. Do we have some sort of civilian medal?
Yes, we do. We have the civilian equivalent of the Medal of Honor, yes.
That's awesome. I love your show. I've thought of calling so many times. This is something that I had to call for. These guys, they're what we're all about. They didn't.
I hope they're what we're all about. I think it's the most positive thing that I've heard. When you consider the American, the typical, America has no morality. America is being punished by God. I got a call like that earlier. But you look at what those men in that aircraft did. They had a series of cell phone calls. They knew. One of the other planes had already had collided with the, or been driven into, more likely, one of the Twin Towers. They knew what they were on their way for. They got in the back of the plane, they held a vote, and they rushed the terrorists. This is one of those reports that we know to be true. And I think it'll be certainly confirmed by the black box, which they're now, no doubt, listening very carefully to. The black box recovered earlier in the day today on Flight 93, and if it is proven to be true, and I fully expect it will, those people deserve to be honored with the highest honor we could possibly give. And if you want something to fill your heart with a little bit of joy when things are pretty bleak, you think about what those men did with their families on that plane when they knew where they were going. They knew they were headed to Washington. You think about what they did. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hi.
Hi.
I have an idea.
All right. Where is this idea coming from? Where are you?
Where am I? I am in Spokane, Washington.
Spokane.
Sir.
Okay, KGN. What is this idea?
Well, I was thinking, I looked up a bunch of things, and I was thinking, if you have problems on an aircraft, and it's an emergency where somebody has to be subdued, why not just use a sleeping agent? And knock everybody out.
You mean just have the pilot flip a switch and...
You got it, my man.
And everybody goes to sleep.
Everybody just simply goes to sleep. Now, I recognize the fact that certain people, depending on their weight, if they get too much of something...
Ask yourself, would they have time to push a button?
Oh, yeah. Sure they would. Because, the other night...
All right, sir, hold on, sir. I'll pick you up after the top of the hour, okay? Stay right there.
You're
You've got to have a pretty good imagination, don't you?
We'll be back.
In the Kingdom of Nye, from west of the Rockies at 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach Art at 1-775-727-1222. And the wildcard line is open at 1-775-727-1295. To reach Art on the toll-free international line, call your AT&T operator and have them dial 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell from the Kingdom of Nye.
Good Lord, talk about a sight, an eerie sight. I don't know if you happen to catch it, whether you've got CNN running in the background. I would really like a copy of that picture, that photograph. CNN just really had one that blew me away. They showed a live picture from a distance of the skyline of New York. And like a mouthful of teeth, with the two front teeth missing, there was a gigantic gap where the World Trade Center buildings had been. Eerie enough all by itself. Add to that the pall of smoke coming up, which of course has been there for days since all of this began. And add to that, behind all of it, branch lightning with one of the biggest storms you've ever seen bearing down on New York City. And that was the photograph they showed at the top of the hour. I would really love to have a copy of that, get it up on the website. Maybe CNN can provide it, or I don't know. They just happened to catch it at that moment. What a visual that was. This horrendous thunderstorm bearing down on those who are trying to rescue the people that may be left alive, although hope for that certainly is fading, as we've had any number of stories today, just astounding stories of people suddenly found in SUVs or 10 police persons found alive as a result of a cell call. All of these stories reported, I'm sure, in good faith, have just blown up and been totally false. They're not finding anybody alive. Not yet, anyway. So we will continue with open lines, but I've got to get a copy of that picture that CNN showed at the top of the hour. Maybe somebody listening at CNN can in some way provide it to me. Email it to me. That'd be a way to go. I'm Art Bell at mindspring.com. That was the eeriest photograph, piece of video I've seen. I'm Art Bell at mindspring.com. Love to get a copy of that. That was really something. And we're really in the middle of something, aren't we? So, stay right where you are. All right, back to my caller, west of the Rockies. You're back on the air, sir.
Yes, sir. Well, the other day you had a gentleman on who I guess was a pilot.
Right.
Indicating that the bulkhead between the cabin area and the pilot area is rather flimsy.
I've noticed that myself.
So I called some of my friends, their engineering people at Lockheed.
Mm-hmm.
And at one time they'd given me some test patches off the shuttle to play with.
Mm-hmm.
So I went in a garage and I tried to drill on one of those things. You can't drill through them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's ultralight. It's a composite. And it would be perfect. So I called them and asked, hey, why not? And they said, oh, yeah, light. Half the shuttle's built out of the things, out of this stuff. Get a bunch of it, stick it in there, make a bulkhead that they can't break down. You won't get through it.
Well,
carbide girls.
You know what? I like that idea better than banning knives. I mean, they want to ban pocket knives. God, if you want to kill somebody, there are so many ways.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Being that they're in the cabin and they're secure,
something goes wrong and they have a disturbance in the passenger area that cannot be controlled by usual means, you hit a button, everybody goes asleep, they take that aircraft down right now.
Hmm. That's an interesting idea, sir. Thank you very much. I wonder what the rest of you think of that idea. Would you consider that to be an unreasonable infringement, potentially, of your rights? If the captain could, you know, push a button and more or less instantly cause everybody to go to sleep? How would you feel about that if you knew the captain of that airliner had that ability? Not a bad thought. I'm going to have to give it some thought. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Art.
Yes.
Good morning. I just want to tell you, first of all, I'm here. I'm at work, actually, right now, right on the West Side Highway at Houston Street. And, you know, you're hearing about people standing out there cheering for all the emergency folks going in and going out. And they're still out there. It's pouring rain. And their people are still out there with their signs and clapping and cheering.
I know.
And supporting these people. And it's just, it's incredible.
Through
it. You know, the lightning like you were talking about.
Yeah.
And
through a devastating day. I mean, it has been for those out there, the workers and the relatives alike. It's been devastating with the reports of, oh, we found some survivors. And imagine how the hopes go up and then the story gets squashed.
Yes. My brother-in-law is on the fire department down there. And, you know, like you said, you hear the stories and then they go and you find out that it's not even close to true.
I couldn't believe it. They give so many details. Inside a SUV, they said, several of them able to walk, they said, and then the story is false. How does it get that far?
Right. One of the things I was wondering about is I was talking to a family member out in Washington, and they were talking about a story that they saw on TV about a plane in Canada, and I don't recall where, but it was a news story, a plane that was shot down on Tuesday, and shortly after the bombing, you know, after the crashes here.
I would think if any plane had been shot down, that would be really big news. In other words, if the story had legs and it was true, of course, you never know.
And that's it. And the other thing, too, is the I know that I heard as a news story about, and again, you're right, you're talking about the news stories that you hear coming out, that plane in Pennsylvania, in fact, was shot down.
Oh, well, I've never heard that in a news story. It's something that crossed my mind. I mean, knowing that what had happened in New York already, knowing the trajectory of that plane, knowing, and certainly the controllers knew where that plane was headed. After it made its 180-degree turn, they knew exactly where it was coming, or very, very close to where it was coming. And so it's something in the back of your mind. I don't know that I don't know who could give an order to shoot down a civilian U.S. airliner.
That's true. I mean, you know, they have the airports here shut down as well. We've just received word that we're waiting for folks to pick up technical equipment that we need, and the Secret Service has informed us that we won't be able to get all, they're going to be closing off the island once the president gets here, so we need to, you know, to change our staffing around.
Informed us. What group are you part of?
I can't say.
You can't say.
But we've been told that we need to get our work done now, because at some point, you know, when he does get here, and that's understandable, you know, that the island won't be accessible and won't be, you know, we won't be able to head out for some time while he's here, which is, I was kind of hoping to get out of here before that, because that just makes us a bigger target having him here, but you never know.
You raise a good point. It really does make you a bigger target, doesn't it? And yet I'm sure they've thought of that. They've got a lot of jet fighter coverage, and, you know,
oh yeah, they're going around here now, you know, and seeing the helicopter gunships, which, would you ever see that flying around New York City?
No.
It's incredible. It really is.
The whole thing is, it hasn't sunk in yet. Even with all the shock I've gone through it, the whole thing hasn't sunk in. And where we're going from here, oh, my. Oh, my. I appreciate your call, sir.
All right, Art.
Thank you. Thank you very much, and take care. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes, you know, I think the credibility that we ought to be very suspicious about over small issues like firemen being saved ought to be really projected on a larger screen to the, I think, the role of the corporate media in this country acting
oh,
as
Oh, it's you again,
as a
Mr.
Kind of
corporate
a,
Media Guy.
Well, you know,
come on, do me a favor, will you? I've had that.
I
heard that tune yesterday. Sing me a new one.
Well, okay, I'll try to mention something. Now, can I mention the fact that the Taliban and Bin Laden were considered by our American government and the American media as great noble freedom fighters, and we were sending billions of dollars to them to perpetrate exactly these same kinds of terrorism in Afghanistan? Back in the 80s during the Reagan-Bush administration when they were blowing up civilian and Afghan and Soviet airliners in Afghan markets.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the fact that at that time when they were serving the purpose of doing this kind of dirty work and the media was depicting them as noble heroes ought to give us a little pause right now.
Yeah, I won't argue with you, but Bin Laden and company were not the only ones that were part of that struggle.
And
we were not just solely... arming Bin Laden, we were arming the entire resistance movement at that time. That's compiled a lot more than Bin Laden in company.
Well, they were clones of Bin Laden. They were the Mujahideen of which he was a part, and were fighting against a government that was trying to pull the country out of the dark ages. But I really think that this is going to be used by some very sinister people within the military industrial elite to. Push back and repress our right to dissent against these kinds of policies, and then go on a rampage of framing up any country that's on the list, the hit list of the CIA or the Pentagon.
Well, as long as you can call me up like this and sing this tune, you can be pretty sure that your rights are still in place.
Well, you know, when you put words in my mouth last night after I'd been cut off and said that I somehow thought this was what we had coming, and I said exactly the opposite when I first came on the line.
No.
I think that's dirty pull.
That's exactly what you think.
I said, sir, what you think. I said it was horrible. I said it was criminal, and I said it was stupid, even from the point of view of these bastards who perpetrated it. And I think it plays right into the hands of the very forces in this country that are really involved in some real terrorism around the world, even supporting on our soil ultra-right exile Cubans, CIA-connected, who have perpetrated bombings of airliners in Cuba, bombings of hotels. Why isn't any of this mentioned within our own media, within our own country? Why is are we harboring these types of...
You know, I could drag you into a conversation about U.S. policies, and you would prove my point very well, but I don't intend to have that long a conversation with you. I know exactly what you think, and what I said last night, I stand by. Given the opportunity, he would rage on about corporate America and the dastardly deeds we've done to the world. And how awful we are. So I didn't put any words in your mouth, sir, that weren't there long ago, nor thoughts in your head that haven't been circling around almost exclusively, I might add, for probably a decade or more. East of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Hey, how you doing, Art?
Well, I'm doing.
Pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you.
Hey, by the way, how's your back?
It's much better, thank you. However, you know, after sitting for a number of hours, it still threatens me and sends me little warning signs. Anyway, what's on your mind?
Well, reason I ask about your back is when you're off the air, we really miss you. We really do.
Thank you.
going back to the news
yes.
of the day, you know, when you think about it, when we bombed Japan... We killed 1 million people on contact. And I don't know, we would probably consider doing that in Afghanistan if we thought it would solve the problem.
Well, look, when we bombed Japan, we were faced with a choice. We were prepared to put at risk perhaps 1 million American men who, yeah. in all likelihood, would have lost their lives
yeah.
Taking the mainland of Japan.
Yeah.
We knew that. And so...
Well, I know one reason why we can't or won't do that today.
So, yeah, that's not quite the same situation we're facing today.
If you've heard or listened, the first reason I'll tell you is because if you take, like, Afghanistan, well, you'd be blowing up a bunch of holy sites.
Mm-hmm.
And they go, well, you can't replace that. You know what I mean? So even if you considered dropping another nuclear weapon over there and try to wipe out that terrorism, they wouldn't let you do it.
Let me just say this to you. If we were faced with the same decision today and we were going to have to invade a country where in all likelihood we would lose a million men, yeah, I would not hesitate for one second to make the same decision and drop that bomb,
yeah,
to end whatever conflict had brought that kind of choice on. But we're not faced with that.
Yeah. Well, your quickening is coming around. I don't know. This is probably written into it somewhere.
It's here now, sir. Thank you very much. It's here. Do you doubt that for a second? And as I've been sort of fretting about all night long since I began the program, an hour earlier tonight, I might add, I've got this foreboding feeling. I sort of believed for a while that, well, you know, maybe it is over. Maybe as horrible as this is, we will retaliate, we'll get them, and it'll be over. It's not over. Every little fiber inside of me says it's not over. And I mean the present attack on us. I don't think it's over. They're extending the security at the White House because they're concerned. They're moving the vice president and president around because they're concerned. They have reason for concern. Northwest Airlines decided not to fly until now, they say tomorrow, because they have concern. People have been arrested in New York and around the world. A man presenting a pilot's ID, that sort of thing, trying to get on an airplane just as they begin to barely fly again, and then LaGuardia and JFK close again. This is not over. First-time callers, area code 775-727-1222. Well, we don't allow last names on the air. Number two, turn your radio off all the way if you would, please.
No problem there. Smith's good enough alias, so you never really know if it's legitimate or not, I suppose.
I suppose. Your radio's still on, Mr. Smith. Please turn it off. I will wait, or I'll have to leave the line.
Okay, there. It's off there.
Good. Okay, Mr. Smith, what's up?
There's a strange point that I think people are failing to recognize, and that's the total number of passengers that have deceased on the four airlines that have gone down.
Oh, no, nobody's forgetting them, sir. They were the casualty count pretty much for a while because they were unable to count beyond that. It's pretty awful. They pretty much only got body parts.
Well, what I mean by that is you take all four airplanes and then add up the total number of
people,
and it's 266, 267, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
When I believe that just one of those 767s would hold 300, 320 people.
I absolutely agree with you, and that's something I've been meaning to bring up for days, the incredibly low number of passengers.
Well, I actually, after this all happened, I was one of the passengers from another airline that got stranded, flew out of Washington, D.C. on the 11th at 7:30, and we were diverted to Kansas City, Missouri. And so we got down, and you hear all these things about turn in any information or
yes,
things like that with the FBI. I'm feeling a little reluctant to do that. I called a couple of my buddies that work in the law enforcement field. And
what information do you have?
Well, if you think about it, 266 people on four planes, that averages out 60, 65 people.
Yeah, that's right. I don't know if that constitutes information.
That constitutes a realization. Yeah,
and
exactly.
I agree with you. It's a remarkably, for that size aircraft, remarkably low number.
Well, my point is simply, if there's that many people and these terrorists are actually only able to use knives or shanks, something of that nature, to take these planes hostage, what they're going to have to do is figure a way to keep a low number of people on those planes in order to prevent what happened in the Pittsburgh area.
Yeah, good point.
And
they would want low numbers, big airplanes, low numbers of people.
Well, and a couple of things. I fly for a living. I'm not a pilot, but I fly an awful lot. And the one thing that the airlines will tell you, that if you book your ticket, you have up until an hour before departure to pay.
Yes.
And the one thing that I found is, it's only a theory. If these people went out and actually booked up a tremendous amount of, say for the one flight, there's 300 seats, and it's hypothetical, but They book 200 seats, and they do it over a period of months.
That really should not be difficult for the FBI to get onto right away, if true. But that may be one of the things they're not talking about right now, and I think you're right on the money.
Well, and to further point, make the point, if you do that with each one of these airlines, and so right at departure, they've got, say, what if the terrorists booked 200 seats and then left the airlines to book another 60 or what have you, and in fact they do that, and right before they go to take off, you know, they got this tremendous no-show.
Right.
The one thing that I made it clear was, if in fact these terrorists have done this, they've done this because they've tried it in the past. So there's going to be a paper trail from the past, because they're not going to try this for a first time to pull this off.
Well, that's a good point.
And
but,
so,
but sir, in the case of, I've got to leave because we've got a break coming up. In the case of four airliners, to have that low a number, I think, absolutely causes suspicion about what you just talked about. Did they try it in the past? I don't know. But it would be immediately obvious to investigators looking into the manifests of these aircraft. I'm Art Bell in Open Lines all night long.
Nights in white satin, never reaching the end. Letters I've written, never meaning to send. Beauty I'd always missed with these eyes before. Just what the truth.
In the Kingdom of Nye, from west of the Rockies, dial 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach Art at 1-775-727-1222. Or use the wildcard line at 1-775-727-1295. To reach Art on the toll-free international line, call your AT&T operator and have them dial 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell on the Premier Radio Networks.
Oh, they're right about that, aren't they? Without love, where would we be now without love? We just, at the moment, wouldn't have much at all, would we? It's an important commodity. Boy, they're doing it again. CNN has been showing these images of hundreds and hundreds of relatives who are down near the scene in New York, and they're all clamoring with pictures of their loved ones, you know, husbands and wives and children, and oh my God, it's sad. It is so sad, it's hard to watch. It's honestly hard to watch. It's hard to assimilate. We've seen that in other countries, haven't we? But here in America? Not very frequently. Never on this scale. It is so sad. First-time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, this is Mark from Brighton, Colorado, about 20 miles north of Denver.
Yes.
K-Hell country.
Yes, sir.
Oh, this is great. It's been so very long trying to get in and talk to you, but this is a terrible part of a nation's history that we've gone through right now.
It is.
I am a truck driver, and you sat shotgun with me for many years.
Thank you.
Anyway, I was stunned by saying that, the very day that it happened, my mother called me, woke me up just when I was coming out of Indianapolis. I just came out of New York, by the way, and also Washington, D.C. a couple days ago. She woke me up and she says, "Did you see what's happened on TV?" I don't know. I told her I just woke up. And so I turned my TV on here in the truck, and I was just in time to see the second building rammed by that jet airplane. And I'm sat there numb.
You wouldn't imagine how many people just had their sets on in the background without sound particularly going, and they saw it, and they actually dismissed it because they thought it was a scene from a movie.
Or a page out of one of Tom Clancy's books, too.
Exactly. Early on, they had Clancy on there about every half hour. They thought the same thing, too, obvious.
I missed that.
Yeah, old Tom Clancy was interviewed like crazy by CNN.
Oh, wow.
In the early hours, because it appeared just like something out of a movie or a book, sure. You're right.
He just about pictured it almost exactly, except for the horror of actually seeing it with my eyes.
Do you think it's over yet?
No, it's not. As a matter of fact, it's just starting, I believe. And as big and as powerful as this country is, they've kind of lost the pride and the power. But I think that a lot of things are going to change. The people who hate the United States are going to still be out there.
I agree with that.
And our borders are so open, it's unbelievable.
Well, until just recently, I was reading today that if you are coming across the Canadian border, for example, you can presently expect about a 12-hour wait.
Wow. I go into Canada myself and deliver loads and come back out again. My paperwork was ready. Sometimes I'd be more than 24 hours, but... lately, my company does a real good job of getting all the paperwork and import ready to go, and all I have to do, it's like a 15-minute transition for me.
Well, you know, in a passenger vehicle, we all may refer to them as the good old days when you would come to the American border, and, you know, they would stop and ask you what you're bringing in or something, perhaps, or they'd just wave you through. Or say, hey, where are you from? And you'd tell them where you're from. They'd wave you through, and that'd be all there is to it. Now you might expect 12 hours and lots of questions.
Absolutely. Well, I know you got a lot of other people waiting to get in there, but there's one thing I wanted to ask you and say, do you ever want a free ride? I got one of these great big blue trucks. I won't tell you what company it is, but we're about the fourth or fifth largest trucking company in the United States. Big blue trucks.
With a big air horn, I bet, too, huh?
Great big air horn. I'll give it to you if you want.
I want it. Yeah, give it to me. Now that's a big air horn. Thank you very much, my friend.
Thank you, Art. It's great talking to you, and much, much good health and good things for you in the future.
Thank you, and good night. Yeah, that's a big air horn. I like those air horns. I don't know why. I've always enjoyed those air horns. Wildcard line, you're on the air. I'm a big kid. You're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art. Terrible times.
Yes, really terrible times.
You know, I hope I'm wrong, but I actually believe that what happened the other day was not initiated by the terrorists. Group itself, I believe that it was an error and that it was should have been much larger, and that perhaps some of our people who are our intelligence agency is always talked down like they don't know what's really happening, and I believe they probably got wind of it and short-stopped what could have been much, much worse, and I hope I'm wrong.
Well, I think you're wrong, but nevertheless, I'm here to allow you to say what you want to say, and I know there's there are groups that think as that gentleman does, and there are even groups that think we have done this to ourselves, as many groups did with respect to Oklahoma City. I know there's a lot of sentiment out there like that, and I've seen it on the Internet, across the Internet, so I know it's there. But I don't think so. I have, and I'm sure many of you have, been expecting this for years. I'm frankly surprised it took as long as it did. I think the FBI has stopped many of them before they happened. We don't hear about those too frequently. Most times we don't at all. So I think what happened is real. And as awful as it seems to be, and probably if you could get close to where it's happening, even worse, all have told. The television people and so forth that have actually come near the center of destruction, have come away either crying or almost unable to talk. Used to the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello. Hello. Going once.
Hello.
Yes, good idea. I almost lost you, sir. Where are you?
I'm in north central Pennsylvania, about 2 hours from where 93 went down.
Yes, sir.
I retired from the military in 1985. And a large focus of my last 4 years was toward this sort of...
Do the wild thing at 775-727-1295.
I can't allow you to give your last name on the air. We don't allow them on the air.
I'm sorry.
So well, let's start again. Your first name is?
Don or Buck.
Okay, Don or Buck, that's fine.
Right. And I retired in 1985.
Right, I got that part. We don't have to start all over again, just with the name. Okay. Don, I'll choose Don. You worked on possible terrorist actions?
Well, a large focus of our... were in areas that were supposedly terrorist...
Well, what did you work on?
Well, what we worked on mostly was areas of topography.
Of what?
Of topography. In my specialty was topography.
Topography.
Right.
All right.
Areas. But what I wanted to call you about basically was there was something that happened one night ago. I was listening to a basically liberal radio station, National Public Radio.
Mm-hmm. And?
And I heard a young woman, girl, college student, had going to the Capitol with a bunch of other young people.
Yes.
And were singing patriotic songs.
Yes.
And for the first time in many years, I shed water as...
Yeah, I haven't done that yet. I understand exactly what you're saying. And a lot of people have cried about this. And I think I've come close several times. But still, I haven't done it. I haven't cried about this. And maybe I should. How about you? I think most of you probably have. Some reason I have such a hard time doing that, releasing. When I do, it really comes in buckets and it's very rare. But I internalize these things, which is probably not a good idea at all. The people who are able to release their emotions are ahead of the game. I've always thought that. Because otherwise it turns into stress, internal stress, and that's manifested in many ways, most of which aren't good. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi. Now you're on the air. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, sir. Proceed.
Am I connecting?
Are you connecting? It sounds like you are.
Well, I wasn't sure who you're talking to there, Art, because everybody can hear you when you're talking on the...
I see. Well, I know. Okay, anyway, go ahead.
I believe there's a bigger picture here. We need to concentrate our focus away from New York and look around the country and see what else is going on. Now, terrorism is a sneaky business. And you got to have some pals. And I think that old Bin Laden there and Mr. Saddam Hussein are sneaky pals.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you all remember back during the Gulf War, afterwards, we had a Marine captain in there, supposed to be in there kicking over cans and digging up weapons and biological agents and so forth.
Yes.
The next attack, and you said yourself, you don't believe this is over.
No, I don't.
Well, what makes sense, Art?
Well, what makes sense from my point of view and what makes sense toward it? Okay, sure. Let's try and follow the illogic of a terrorist from our point of view, right? We already know what they have done and what they're willing to do. Would this be the end of it? Would you think, from their point of view? No. What would be next? Well, I would imagine that as soon as the airlines get going again, they would try and bring down another airplane. Or perhaps many, in different locations. No doubt, big cities. That's what I would imagine, probably in my worst nightmare. that the nightmare would itself continue, and there's every possibility it may. Our nation's leaders are doing their dead-level best to address it nationally, not just New York. It's the focus because of what happened, but look around you, my friend. Airplanes are grounded nationwide and have been, and maybe we're headed toward more groundings. If there's more apparent attempts at terror or more terror actually carried out, God help us, it will again bring the airline industry to its knees to a halt. So if I were the terrorist responsible for orchestrating this terror, I would certainly attempt to continue it, wouldn't you? It's hard to follow that twisted path, or maybe not so hard. First time caller line, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hello.
This is Alicia from Nevada.
Okay, welcome.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that I think it's, you know, a shame what's gone on. But if all those buildings would have been filled with as many people as work in there that morning, they would have killed as many people as it took in Vietnam. And I think that we should have went and took care of Mr. Saddam when they had the chance. This probably wouldn't be going down right now.
Well, I don't know about that. There's no shortage of people who hate us. There's no shortage of people who would do the sort of thing. Saddam would have probably done that if he could have. And who's to say that he's not in league with bin Laden and others? Who's to say this is not a sort of consortium of terror which has come together to do this incredible thing, this horrible thing, and more? I think there's more coming. How many of you out there, hold up your hands, how many of you think this is over now? Hold up your hands. I don't see any hands. What kind of war do you think we're about to wage? And are you worried that the war, in effect, will be against us and everything we stand for in our Constitution? It is a concern. Today, a lot of talk about national ID cards. It's a path, you know, it's a path. Wildcard line, you're on the air.
Hello, Mr. Val.
Hello.
my name is Brandy. I'm in East Tennessee.
Okay.
I feel like somebody needs to... We need to wake up. We need to wake up. People are reacting terribly and taking it out on the wrong people. Okay.
No. I'm not really tracking.
Well, okay, everybody is getting to the point where they're really starting to get to the point where they're angry.
Yeah.
You know, there was anger from the beginning, but now it's starting to become the main emotion.
Predictable and true, yes.
Yes, we're angry. But the problem is we don't really have a target for our anger yet.
That's true.
Nobody has said definitively, this is who did it.
No, it sounds like it's getting pretty close to that.
Yeah, it's getting close, but, you know, there are still some reservations, and until they get, you know what I mean?
Yes, and because people are angry and they're frustrated, they're beginning to just get outright angry.
And they're looking for a place to direct it. They don't have one, and so they're going to the wrong places. And people, there was a report about a guy trying to run over a woman with a shawl on her head in New York City.
Yeah.
And people need to understand that if you are willing, if you feel like, well, they did it to us, so it's okay for us to do it to them and to nuke them all, and if a bunch of civilians die, well, big deal. And, you know, this guy over here that runs the convenience store who wears a turban may have had nothing to do with it, may feel as bad about it as we do, but, you know, he came from there, so I'm going to take it out. That's wrong. That's wrong. You can't shoot at a mosque. You can't try to hurt these people because it's a small minority of people from that area who feel this way.
Well, that's why I think it was last hour or the hour before, I can't remember now, somebody was talking about the Japanese internment camps and how we treated the Japanese during the Second World War. And I'm not so sure. I mean, I know that as a nation we would like to think that we have grown greatly since the internment camps and then subsequently the apology and the reparations and all the rest of it, but I don't think the situation now is any different than it was then. And I think emotions are as strong now as they were then. And if this blows up into a full-fledged war, conflict, dragging on for a long time, I don't think you'll see our behavior be very much different than it was then. I wish I could say otherwise, but I'm afraid...
Well, I think that we need to make a concerted effort to make it different. Because if we react in that way,
mm-hmm.
we are showing that we are no better than the people who did this to us.
I agree. Thank you. I agree. There's a, well said. If it comes down to that, and if we nuke them, in quotes, nuke them, or if we begin to take it out on Arab American nationals, then she's right. We're no better. And I really hope that we are. It may be a small but vocal minority with respect to what's said and, in fact, what's done. And I'm going to hope that's true and that it's not enough so that we face the same kind of situation we did then. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello. Hello. Going once, going twice, gone. First time caller line, you're on the air. Good morning. Hello. No, that's not working either. A wild card line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hello. My name.
All right. Your name and anything else you have to say isn't going to come out if you have your radio on.
Oh, I just turned my radio off. My name is Martin. I'm in Glendale.
What can I do for you, Martin?
Well, I'm not so concerned anymore about what happened with all the bombing. What I'm really concerned about...
Oh, what bombing, Martin?
I guess that's how I think of it when I...
Martin, excuse me. What bombing are you referring to?
That's how I think of it when I think of the planes crashing into the building.
Oh, you think of it as bombing. Oh, so you say you're not concerned about the terrorism, is what you're saying.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Why are you not concerned?
Because I do know that this is not over. I know that in 10 years... When my nephew, who was just born on August 8th of this year...
Real quick, Martin, we're out of time. Yes?
...is going to ask me what happened when he was just born, I'm going to be telling him that what happened when he was born was an act of terrorism.
Okay, I don't see how that leads to a lack of concern. But I guess you wanted to say that.
Kingdom of Nye from west of the Rockies at 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers may recharge at 1-775-727-1222. And the wildcard line is open at 1-775-727-1295. To recharge on the toll-free international line, call your AT&T operator and have them dial 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell from the Kingdom of Nye.
This program takes open line, unscreened calls. There are very, very, very few around the country that do that. Probably could count them on one hand. When I say unscreened, I mean exactly that. We don't ask you what you want to talk about. We just say, hold on, you're coming right up. It's what it's all about, and it's right here. It's called Coast to Coast AM. All right, back to those unscreened open line calls. Here we go. First time caller line, you are on the air. Good morning.
Hey, Art, how you doing?
All right, sir. I detect another New York accent.
Yeah, I'm calling up from Westchester County.
Okay.
first of all, I want to say thanks for being on the air because, like a lot of people, I got about 3 hours sleep since Tuesday also. And I'm out actually driving around now with a pair of slippers on because I just can't stay home anymore.
It begins to have a pretty profound effect on you after a while. You watch this and watch it and watch it and watch it, and you don't get sleep. And when you do, it's not proper sleep. It's fitful, and you have bad dreams. And, it really affects you.
It really does. And you know what? There's such a bad feeling around. And I was even in the supermarket, and you know, everyone's shopping, and no one's even talking. There's a sense of quiet, and mm-hmm. you know, just like something's not right. And I agree with you. I do have an uneasy feeling that this is not over. And
right.
You know, it really hit home hard. I mean, you know, the Twin Towers, since I was a little kid, I used to look out my windows and see them, and they're not there anymore. And I really just don't know what's going on. And, I'm glad you're on the air because I needed someone to talk to. And I just wanted to say a few things that I had on my mind. I know the last week Congress was out in front of the Senate, and they were all singing America the Beautiful. And it kind of upset me a little bit because half of the people there, you know, were responsible for cutting the spy budget. And
this would be the same group that was out on the lawn today after a bomb threat.
Okay, and also, you know, I love this country, but I do think we need to take a look at the Constitution and maybe change, I know everyone says freedom of the speech, but I don't believe burning a flag, an American flag in this country, constitutes freedom of the speech. And
well, then you're in disagreement with the U.S. Supreme Court, then.
Right. I mean, I do have a problem with that. And I do, too. And I know there's a lot of other callers, and I want to say thank you to all the guys. I know a lot of guys in the city personally who are down there. I do have some friends that are still unheard of. And, we'll see what happens. But, God bless America, and keep the show going. And I'm going to give it over to somebody else who needs more time.
All right, my friend. Thank you. I too, have a problem with anybody who burns a flag. Of course. I think most of us do. However, conceptually, I understand why the court has ruled it's speech. Well, it's not. It's action, really. And I used to argue that. I used to feel that myself, that there should be a law. But I've thought it over and thought it over, and I do agree with the U.S. Supreme Court, although painfully, because, you know, unlike anybody else, I'd like to go sock somebody in the jaw, at the very least, who burns a flag in front of me or close enough to me so I can react. However, such an action, disdainful as it is part of what we are, this thing that we're protecting. We can't ever forget what we're protecting. We're protecting free speech. We're protecting our privacy rights, such as they are, lingering as they are, as sporadic as they may be these days. We're protecting all kinds of things that, unfortunately, you've got to take out to the limit sometimes. You've just sort of got to grit your teeth and say, well, it's part of what we are, and we don't really want to change that because then we'll be something else. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hello.
Yes, Art.
Yes.
This is Jim from New Jersey.
Hi, Jim.
First, I'd like to say God bless America. What happened is very close to New Jersey here. You know, it's tough on Jersey, I'd say.
Yes.
But listening to a earlier caller speaking about the imposter pilots that were recently arrested at the area airports.
Yes.
What they could be possibly up to. I saw images of those pilots or so-called pilots being arrested, and they seemed pretty smug on TV, like they accomplished their mission.
Well, I don't rule it out. I think you're exactly right. If it took hitting the Pentagon and the Twin Towers being taken out to get all the aircraft out of the American skies, then it didn't take much more than one or two guys or a few guys to walk up and try to get on an airplane with some ID to keep them out of the skies.
Well, I think it was intentional. I just want to get this across. And,
it's coming across
fine. I'm hoping authorities are listening because it's my impression that they want to keep the area, free of airplanes because the president's coming tomorrow. And if they have any SAMs or anything along those lines,
mm-hmm.
I mean, he'd be the only plane in the sky. And, I mean, if they kept the other planes down, they know where their target is if the other planes are down. And, you know, that scares me.
It's a very good point.
And, I you know, I'm hoping that, you know, somebody who knows somebody that's you know, with the FBI or relatives or anybody in government, you know, please, you know, take that into consideration. Because, you know, why else would they do that? And they seem very smug on TV looking at them. They were smiling, being cuffed and put into the police cars. And I'm concerned about that. And, you know, I mean, there aren't too many airplanes flying. And I know we have fighter cover, so on and so forth. But it's a concern of mine.
And it's a worthwhile concern. Thank you.
Okay, Art.
I agree with this man. And the more you think about it, what were the actions of these eight people today, one of whom produced a pilot's ID? Well, as I said a moment ago, it took hitting the Pentagon and the World Trade Center to accomplish getting all the aircraft out of American skies. Then what did it take to close JFK and LaGuardia? It took a fellow and a few others presenting ID, saying they were pilots when they weren't, and the airports are what? They're closed down now. Other airports are closing. Washington is going to stay closed till further notice, and we're all in a tizzy again. So I guess it doesn't take much, does it? Something about once burned, twice shy, right? East of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hello?
I tried to get a hold of you yesterday when you were talking about the Nostradamus thing.
Yes.
It does mention about New York City and so forth like that. But what nobody has mentioned yet that I've heard of, it also talks about not only the Muslim person, but an Asian man as well.
Well, it mentions New City, which people take to mean New York City.
Right. They were talking about skyscrapers and so forth. As well, and then they talk about an Asian man, and then they talk about Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. So I don't know if there's any kind of connection there. But also, I'd like to say that I saw the president's speech, and I was very moved by him. As a matter of fact, I cried seeing him tear up the way he did. And my whole family's military, and we back him up 100% on what he chooses to do.
Have you cried about this yet?
I cried. My children's cried. They're scared. I mean, they've seen military felt so bad because, you know, I really don't want to feel anything towards those people except for the people who actually haven't done this.
I appreciate your call. Thank you. And I'm sure he appreciated that. Although, from his point of view, the fact that even out of compassion you had to say that to him no doubt reminds him of what a position he's in and all the other Arab Americans. Yikes. Well, we're already into this pretty deeply, aren't we? And it has only just begun, I'm afraid. I wonder what kind of war this is going to be. No doubt about it now, huh? We're going to war. You can feel it cranking up. The UN people are leaving Afghanistan. We're having some pretty serious, you better do it type talks with Pakistan. The military is beginning to move. The funds are being allocated. As a matter of fact, I think they started the day talking about $20 billion. And now it's $40 billion by the end of the day. And they're saying that is but the tip of the iceberg. Well, that's some iceberg directly in front of us, Captain. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art.
Hi.
Yeah, back to those four that was just sentenced here a few months back for the 93 Trade Center bombing.
Yes.
I had an eerie feeling when they first arrested those guys, or, you know, sentenced them. They just sentenced them here a while back. That
right.
They better be on high alert, you know, with them four being sentenced, because they spread that all over the news media, and then you didn't see it. And on Afghanistan, I don't condone what bin Laden did or anything, but if anybody thinks that the Afghani people hasn't been suffering, those people have been suffering a great deal over there already.
That is correct.
and also with the here just right before they had this bombing.
However, sir, that does not excuse the Taliban's harboring of the person who did this to us, if in fact that turns out to be the way it has occurred, and certainly looks that way. They're going to have to understand that we're going to take their infrastructure apart, we're going to take their military capability apart, and we're going to go in there and we're going to kill that son of a bitch.
Yeah, right. But I still think, the key to this thing could be with them four that they have in prison already, that, I understand that there's got to be retaliation to something, but to those four that's in prison, that they might be able to negotiate something that with them to get this thing out on the front line to come to a better, something better than an all-out war.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think there's going to be any negotiating about this. Now, I'm very careful about the kind of response that we make. But make no mistake about it, I want these people dead. Once we have concrete proof of who did it, I'm really not interested in a trial at The Hague or anybody being dragged back here for court or any of the rest of it. This is WAR, war. And in war, you go to kill your enemy. As our enemy came to kill us, so we shall go to kill him. In that process, I don't condone, nor do I expect that we will go and intend to kill innocent civilians, because that's not what we're about. You don't want us to be about that. You shouldn't. First time caller line, you're on the air.
Yeah, Art, I like your program.
Thank you.
But, I think the American people, there's a bumper sticker, and when this happened, the answer was obvious. The bumper sticker says, "Who put a stop payment on my reality check?"
Yeah.
And I think a lot of the American people, I'm an ex-vet, and I think a lot of people, all of a sudden, this is the first time it's happened on our soil. Bin Laden screwed up. He attacked the World Trade Center. When the bodies are sorted, he killed people from all over the world. Not just the United States. He just happened to pick on our soil.
That's right. And it's worth reminding everybody out there that New York is the biggest melting pot in America, and that just about every race you can imagine
flies in and out of there on a daily basis.
Would have been in the Twin Towers when they came down.
Yeah. It's like a revolving.
And now all those races and all of those people are buried beneath the rubble without respect to race or religion. So when we avenge this, we're avenging it not just for white guys. We're avenging it for everybody who got killed.
We're avenging it for everybody in the world, because we have NATO. We have countries that have never been behind us before now all of a sudden saying, hey, wait a minute. If we let him get away with this, we're next.
Well, that's why I think
he won't stop here.
That's right. I think that's why you're seeing so much cooperation now with the United States. On in addition to the horrendous nature, the undeniable nature, you can't hide from it, horrid nature of this attack, there is that aspect. We could be next. We may well be next. Certainly, the British are thinking that. The Germans are probably thinking that. Across Europe, they're probably thinking that. In Asia, they're probably thinking that. Well, gosh, that could have happened here. So there is that aspect of it at work, I think. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Art. How are you this evening, buddy?
Okay, hanging in there, sir. Where are you?
My name is Merlin. I'm calling you from Dallas, Texas, listening to you on 570 KLIF.
Cliff, yes, sir.
I just was, earlier I heard you talking to a couple of people, about the ups and downs of the day, how one minute you'll hear that a few people have been rescued and then you find out later they haven't, or such as that. There was one bright spot today, at least for me. The last time I can recall this level of patriotism was obviously during the Gulf War. There was you know, probably was the last time that they sold as many flags as they had in the last couple of days. And I was just wondering, did you see on the live coverage of the changing of the guard at the Royal Palace in England today?
When they played our national anthem?
Yes, sir.
Yes, I saw it.
I don't know about you, but to me that was, I don't know.
It was wonderful.
Yes, sir, it was.
It was wonderful. Yes, I know. I did. My wife and I did the same thing. We have an American flag here. We're more likely to fly the Jolly Roger, but today we hoisted up the American flag to half staff. As a matter of fact, I took a picture of it on my webcam. It's on my webcam right now, and put up our own flag. And we noticed them going up around our neighborhood as well. So you're absolutely right. It's just that, you know, this incredible coming together and patriotism is beginning to turn a little bit into anger, and it's going to be a somewhat uncontrolled anger if something doesn't happen to satiate it pretty soon.
Well, I don't know if you're aware of it, probably not, because I don't think the national news has picked it up yet, but right here in Dallas, we've already had several vandalism attacks on some local mosques and different things like that, and of course the FBI is down here trying to solve that, and that's not the right way to go about it, but in one sense, I can almost understand the anger simply because people do get frustrated, they're mad, they're upset.
I know.
And that, since we don't have any way to actually vent it, some people, and don't get me wrong, I don't condone that at all. I think it's absolutely deplorable, but at the same time, I can sort of understand somebody being very upset.
It's a base human instinct, sir, and while I understand it, I don't condone it. We all have to come together to try and stop it. Because it's going to get worse before it gets better. That's our America.
I'm in America. And a kid without a cent. Get a break and maybe grow up to be president. Only in America.
Kingdom of Nye, from west of the Rockies, dial 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach Art at 1-775-727-1222 or use the wildcard line at 1-775-727-1295. To reach Art on the toll-free international line, call your AT&T operator and have them dial 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell on the Premier Radio Networks.
If you're following the news minute to minute, it looks as though a thunderstorm, severe, has actually stopped the search in New York for victims, at least temporarily. And again, I would like to make a plea. If anybody out there is at CNN or happened to catch the CNN photograph, they had one hell of a photograph up there a couple hours ago. It was of the New York skyline at a distance. You could see the missing twin towers, like a couple of missing teeth. The smoke was, as it has been since the incident, rising. And in the background, there was a lightning bolt, as you could see the storm approaching New York City. And CNN caught that perfectly. And I don't know if anybody caught it. Anybody at CNN can grab it and send it to me. I really, really would like to have a copy of that photograph. It was an incredible scene, absolutely incredible. At any rate, the search for survivors temporarily stopped. Also, they're reporting at this hour that four of those eight that were arrested earlier today were also seen in the airport on the day of the disaster, of the terrorism, of the evil. International Line, you're on the air. Hello. Hello there.
Hello?
Yes, sir. You're on the air from wherever you are. Where are you?
I'm calling you from Sydney, Australia.
Sydney. Okay, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. Art, the reason I've called you, in fact, was a friend of mine called me and mentioned that you were taking calls internationally.
Yes.
I'd just like to share with you the sentiment of the Australian people. We heard about it, of course, late Tuesday night, early Wednesday morning because of the time difference. And it was absolute abhorrent shock to all of us because I guess for those of you listeners who have been to Australia, we have a very close kinship with the United States that goes back many, many years. Mm-hmm. And I guess I was having dinner with some friends on Wednesday night, Sydney time, and of course that was on the tips of everybody's tongue about what had happened. And I think it runs deeper than just an attack on the United States and an attack on the United States people and the attack on the United States' biggest city. It really goes to the core of what Western civilization is all about. It's what your president said, that the United States represents the brightest beacon of liberty and freedom.
You bet.
And I think that these people who involuntarily were martyred by these despicable disciples of death, and it must be so difficult for the families and those people who loved the people who died. However, we cannot afford as a world to leave one stone unturned in the not only the retaliation but the extermination of the thought processes that allowed this evil act to manifest in the way that it did.
I agree.
And I think that it's not only could it happen in New York, it could happen in London, Sydney, anywhere else that this type of mentality is allowed to breed and spawn into these evil acts.
That's why, though it's frustrating for some Americans, if you listen carefully to our leaders, they're talking about coalitions. They're talking about a protracted war that is going to stamp this out completely. That really is what they're talking about. I hope they mean what they say.
Well, I think due diligence needs to be paid perpetually to this because it's not only an act against the United States, it's an act of not only insult, but an attack on humanity.
It is. It's an attack, actually. Thank you very much. It's an attack against the civilized world. It's an attack against civilization, period. And it will not stand. Nor in a short time will the people who perpetrated it. They'll be horizontal. First time caller line, you're on the air.
Hey, Art.
Hey.
I got a quick question for you.
Sure.
Why do you suppose it is that President Bush has spent so much time on vacation recently? Do you think that's coincidence?
Yes. I mean, convince me otherwise. Why do you think?
I received a questionnaire sponsored by a major magazine. I guess I probably shouldn't say the name. There's a few awfully leading questions in here. I received this 5 days before last Tuesday. Let me read a couple of them to you real quick.
Okay.
Should America make it easier for foreigners to immigrate and become citizens here?
Mm-hmm.
Should we reinstate the draft to build up our armed forces?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think the greatest foreign affairs challenge facing America in the next 10 years will be China, Russia, or terrorism?
Mm-hmm.
As we cut the crime rate, are we paying enough attention or too little attention to the civil liberties of our citizens?
Well, I think that these are questions that you could imagine would be asked without imagining a coincidence, you know, if that's where you're going with this.
Well, there was another caller also recently who said that our intelligence agencies know considerably more than they would or should tell the general public.
You're not suggesting that they knew and let it happen, I hope.
I don't believe that they would.
I certainly don't believe they would.
I do believe now that they have, obviously, that entire support of everyone here and so many around the world.
All right, sir. Thank you very much for the call. Take care. I guess it went unsaid. That is sort of what he thinks. And I know there's going to be a lot of that. The longer this goes on, the more, of course, that sort of sentiment is going to build. It always does whenever anything awful like this happens. Oh, we're in for such a time, aren't we? Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art. Hi, people. It's Johnny here from Winnipeg.
Hi, Johnny.
Hi. The other day, you had a father that had called in saying he was having some trouble communicating to his son due to the aggression he was harboring inside himself.
Probably representing a lot of fathers and a lot of sons, yeah.
Yeah. And really, I was hoping I could just make two points and hopefully alleviate some of that, what might be misplaced aggression or anger. Americans should be aware of Palestinians are Catholics, Muslims, and Jews and comprise a population exceeding 3.5 million people. And to say a Palestinian is the same as saying an American. And if an American were to commit a crime, a horrendous, some terrorist act and committed suicide over it, nobody in their right mind rationally would advocate assassinating police officers. So that's one thing. And the other thing is, politicians are saying we should take a war on terrorism and get to the root cause, and I totally agree with that, and that's an excellent thing to do. It's understanding how these people are trained in all these terrorist organizations. There's a certain modus operandi, if you will, of the IRA or any other terrorist organization. Essentially what they do is they say, you're a minority, okay, or they classify themselves with the label of minority, and they say, are you being denied justice, freedom, and liberty? And then they make that point, and they say, in the case of some of the terrorist organizations around today, they say they are being denied justice by American foreign policy, and that's their opinion or whatever.
Well, of course it is.
And they're not being given the equal respect that all human beings should be granted. I mean, as a human being, you shouldn't have your brother killed just because he's breathing, or your house confiscated for no reason whatsoever. And so they live, and a lot
this
of people, they live these situations.
A much longer way, sir, of saying one person's terrorist is another person's freedom fighter. Yes,
right,
I'm very
right.
well
so,
aware of that.
Right, so and in all cases, like you can look through all the history, the worst thing you can do in a terrorist situation is play that same game, because it only increases it. Like Bin Laden, I don't know whether...
Oh, baloney.
Well, here's an answer.
No, hold on. We'll get to your solution
okay.
in a second.
Okay, great.
The Soviets had a pretty good solution for terrorism.
Okay.
They returned it. I'm not right. suggesting that we do the same sort of thing.
Right. No.
But you may recall a time when a number of Soviet diplomats were kidnapped.
Mm-hmm.
And if my recollection serves me, little body parts were sent
right.
back to the Soviets. And as I recall, the Soviets returned the body parts
right.
of some of the kidnappers.
Right. Well,
it seemed to stop it right
yeah,
there.
Well,
I'm not suggesting we do that.
Right. Well, I guess each situation has its own action. And if you can pinpoint the exact people, then that would be a benefit. But if you go to war against an innocent populace, you'll still have...
We're not going to go to war against an innocent
populace. No, I know,
populace.
But like, all I'm trying to get at is that there's a segment of society in any country that you could term irrational. Like, you could say, we want a new... we've had maybe a couple of them in America, as they do exist in every country, in Palestine and in Israel, that'll say, nuke them all, But they don't recognize that it's irrational, that it's actually condoning the crime that took place, because just as the terrorist says... He doesn't have his voice heard in America, and America doesn't talk about the foreign policy. Like, it's a hush-hush. You can't talk about why you would deprive, 300,000 children of medicine and food, but give Saddam Hussein billions of dollars for oil, like this year. Like, it'll starve the poorest of the poor.
Well, now...
It's irrational. It doesn't make sense.
Now, wait a minute. Now, as I recall, the money for the oil was for aid to... the children, the women, the children, the people of Iraq. That's ostensibly what the UN set up the sales for. Now, I'm not suggesting that that's where it went, but I am suggesting that on our part, the part of the world, the organized world, civilized world, that's what the intent was. We'll be right back. All right, back to the phones we go. On the wild card line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hi.
Hi.
I just wanted to talk about how this has affected me and emotionally. This morning I woke up and I was like so irritable and so snappy at my kids. And I went to work, got in a fight right away with somebody I worked with. And I'm not like that. I'm just a mild-tempered person. And
I understand entirely.
I got to the point where all of a sudden I realized, like, what is wrong with me? And I just have so much anger right now.
You're not alone.
I know. And it's just like I know everybody wants a solution right away. But, you know, I mean, everybody's talking about getting over there. Let's do something. Let's go annihilate them. But you know what? We don't want to send our boys over there without a plan. You know, let's take our time and do this right and get it done right the first time without putting our country and our husbands, fathers at
risk. Oh, I could not agree more. And yet, I can feel what's happening because it's happening to me too. Oh boy, can I feel it?
I'm so uptight. I'm ready just to strangle somebody at all times. It's awful.
I understand.
And I've been listening to people on the radio yesterday. I mean, I'm just screaming at the radio because this lady was on there saying, how dare, well, Hillary Clinton was there on the steps in New York, and she was blah, 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 and where the heck was Bush at? Here he was zigzagging all over the country and not, you know, coming to New York where he should have been, back at the White House, she was saying. You know, it's like, what? You want to...
Well, dear, listen.
You want him to be a sitting duck.
Yeah, every belly button has an opinion.
I know. I mean, you know, but it's like, well, he shouldn't be a sitting duck. You know what? Zigzag him around. He is the president, and you think this country's in turmoil right now, just think what it'd be like if we didn't have a leader.
I'm worried about him going to New York later today.
I'm worried that they keep announcing where they're sending everybody.
I know. I appreciate it. Thank you very much. Yeah, I'm worried about Bush going to New York. I think a lot of people are. But I guess we have to assume that they have the situation in hand. At least they've certainly been warned, right? So you would imagine that every safety measure they can get in place is in place for it. International Line, you're on the air. Where are you calling from, please?
I'm calling from Dahran, Saudi Arabia.
Yes, sir.
Thank you very much for taking my call.
Sure.
I had a really quick thing to say.
Okay.
I'm sure that you've seen a clip of the people dancing in the streets about those horrible events.
Yes.
That really just doesn't match. I'm sorry.
No, that's all right. We have a little delay here with such a long-distance call. Yes, I've seen them. And to add to it, there are people at Network, sir, who have been threatened with death should they continue to run them.
Unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable. I just want to let you know, though, that just doesn't match my experience here in Saudi Arabia.
Mm-hmm.
I've had more than 20 Saudis come up to me with tears in their eyes, wishing me and my family here and in the States better. Well, you know, we have to be very, very cautious. I know this is said over and over and over again, but it can't be said enough about overgeneralizing and tarring an entire race or people or religion or country with the same brush.
I know.
There's nuts everywhere.
There sure are. And the increasing anger that, if you've been listening, I'm sure you've been noting and hearing, and frustration is really beginning to move now and accelerate exponentially. And as it does, it's going to get tougher and tougher.
Yeah, it's frightening to me, and I'm sure it's frightening to you as well. I think General Schwarzkopf said it best, and I'm paraphrasing here, obviously. Minimizing civilian deaths is one of the things that separates the good guys from the bad guys.
Right.
We're all immigrants.
That's exactly right.
Most of us are.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right, my friend. Thank you very much, and how is it to be so far away from home at such a time?
Really frightening on some level. This is one of those rare times when you guys are on ground zero rather than we are. And it's really frightening not to have the ability to come home if I needed to.
Yeah, that would be frightening. I appreciate your call. Thank you. That would be really frightening, wouldn't it? To not have the ability to come home if you wanted to, if you needed to immediately, to not be able to. Wow. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Yeah, hi, Art. This is Bob in San Diego.
Yes, Bob.
I wanted to say a couple things. First of all, just like that caller said in Saudi Arabia, I think it's important to not misunderstand the reactions of millions of people in different parts of the world based on very limited videotape that we've seen. I thought it was very interesting that throughout the first day when they would mention that people were cheering in different parts of the world like Palestine, mm-hmm. they would continually show this same exact video clip of this little bus filled with people and the same woman, you know, in her black outfit smiling, and they would just keep showing that same one of that or of men shooting their guns into the air. It was those two video clips that continually ran, and I kept having the thought, well, you know, I don't know what propaganda is used for, and I don't know what it may be, whether or not this is part of it, but that could very well have been some other celebration, you know, a videotape done on a holy day many days ago. I mean, we don't have any idea where those videotapes came from.
Well,
so it's not smart.
I do think that our country propagandizes its own people like every other country in the world. However, I think those probably were legitimate pictures of the news reaching the Palestinians, or at least some of them. Now, whether it should have been run again and again and again, and whether it's really representative of, you know, a whole West Bank celebration or not, that's another question.
Okay, and if I may just also address, I know that there's probably many listeners that you have that are Arab Americans, and I've heard a couple callers the last few nights calling and saying whether they're Arab Americans and saying, I don't know, you know, how, whether or not what I can say or how I should act. Some of them a bit scared. And I've heard Americans saying that, you know, they don't really know what to explain to their children that are maybe noticing that Arab American children are being made fun of or threatened in school. They don't really know how to explain it to them because they have these same feelings themselves. I would just say that if I was an Arab American, the only advice I could give would be that if somebody is beginning to give you a hard time or a whole group, if you were in fact born here, I would just, you know, lift my chin up and open your eyes at them and say, I was born here, and leave it at that, and that should send a message. And if you were not born here, then you can equally say, I love this country. And if that doesn't send a message to them, you know, then they really are blinded.
But they probably are. Mm. In other words, if they're taking that tact in the first place, then they probably are blinded, or they wouldn't be doing that in the first place. You know, it's an irrational action born of frustration and anger and ignorance.
Yeah, this is true. And finally, if I could just take another moment, I want to express that it's true that the rest of the world is dealing with this same problem that we are, and has been for a while, and I think we have their support of major nations that maybe wouldn't have supported us in the past. For example, Russia has been concerned for a long time about terrorism on the Kremlin coming from bin Laden, and China itself has actually resorted to recognizing the Taliban and signed an economic agreement with them only about 2 weeks ago, for the only reason that they did that was because they found out that the Muslim separatists in the Xinjiang province of China were training in bin Laden's camps in Afghanistan and Pakistan, mm-hmm. and they didn't know how else to deal with it. But now they're going to be able to join us and Russia and and other countries, and we'll see what happens, right?
All right, sir. I appreciate the call. Thank you.
You're welcome.
This evening's show, this morning's show, is going to terminate a little early because we were on the air an hour early tonight. We're doing that for network continuity. Maybe the case tomorrow night as well, and then we'll go back to the regular schedule. It's quite a time we're having in America, isn't it? I hope we get through it all right. Everybody out there, try to keep a cap on it. They're working on it. I'm Art Bell, and this is Coast to Coast AM.
in the Kingdom of Nye from west of the Rockies at 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers may recharge at 1-775-727-1222. And the wildcard line is open at 1-775-727-1295. To recharge on the toll-free international line, call your AT&T operator and have them dial 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell from the Kingdom of Nye.
You know, I think I picked this song to open this hour, and yes, we've already been on for an hour. Surprise, surprise, to those of you joining at this hour. May do the same thing tomorrow night. Begin an hour early. She was brought in by a police officer. Oh, well, it doesn't matter. All right. Port Authority officer. All right. Okay, so she was brought in by a Port Authority officer and had a cell phone, had her husband on the line, reporting that he was with 10 police officers trapped two levels down under Tower 1 of the World Trade Center, or what was the World Trade Center. Now, I caution you, even with, this is being reported by Fox, and I'm reporting it to you, but even with this reporting, a great deal of caution. Exercise a great deal of caution in what you believe, even as real as this seems, because earlier in the day, CNN and other outlets reported seemingly reliably that five firefighters were found alive in an SUV, and they had details of what kind of SUV it was. They even had details saying that three of the officers were well enough to walk. And this story lived on for a long time and gave a lot of people a lot of hope. And then they had to come back later and say, no, it was baloney. The story was totally false. So now, within the last 15 or 20 minutes, we're getting reports that, if they're true, would raise a lot of hopes out there and hopefully not to be dashed. It sounds real, doesn't it? But it sounded real earlier today. May God make it so that it is real and that they are finding people and that they can get to them. I hope so. Normal? Not even close. Secretary Powell pointing the finger now directly, by name, at Bin Laden. National ID cards are being discussed as something that we may have to do. Every U.S. citizen carrying an ID card. Big news at this hour also that eight individuals have been arrested, one of them, if not more, of Middle East origins, presenting false identification to try to get on planes at LaGuardia and JFK. Well, they got popped. They're under arrest. And one of these men apparently had a pilot's identification. I repeat, a pilot's identification. So if you wonder why the polls are showing that Americans believe this is still going on, why it may be justified, there is one story for you. Now, those airports are closed again. The big ones are closed again. Other airports are closing. Some stories say they're opening. Washington Airport, I've heard, is closed until further notice. For quite a while, apparently. So, normal? Oh, I don't think so. They're warning now of lung damage for those people working and breathing in the air in New York, which I guess it's a... Well, I've seen it. It's horrible. I've been watching all of this. I've been watching all of this, as I'm sure many of you have, non-stop, all day long. And I believe it's getting to me. I've got about 3 hours sleep right now, today. I got up this morning between about 5:30 Pacific time and 8:30, and that's all I've had. That's it. And I think it's all beginning to get to me a little bit. I'm having a fitful sleep. It's not good sleep. It's interrupted by bad dreams. And it's just not much sleep at all. I just absolutely cannot fall asleep. Nor can I seem to leave the coverage. Our stock exchanges are going to be closed now, they say, until Monday. And they'll be testing to see if they can bring them up on Monday. Everybody will be watching the market, assuming they manage to get it open. Any foreign airliners headed toward U.S. shores are being turned away. They're not being allowed into the country. the pile of debris in New York, 75 feet tall. Just going through some of the headlines here. Three buildings now are seen to be so structurally unsound that, indeed, they may collapse. One of them, a really big one. Fires continue, actually rekindled and continuing at the Pentagon. The black box on board Flight 93, the one that crashed in Pennsylvania, has been recovered. Now, if that black box substantiates what apparently went on in that airplane, it's time to crank out the civilian equivalent of the Medal of Honor for every man on that aircraft that voted to overwhelm the hijackers and bring that aircraft down at the expense of their own lives, out of their families, some of them on board with them. Can you imagine what god-awful decision that would have been? What heroes they are. I'm going to keep pounding on this and pounding as I have been for the last several nights until, and I don't know, until people begin to send messages to their representatives and suggesting this be done right away. I imagine that is going to be confirmed because, of course, there was a conversation on that airplane, as you well know, between a family member. I think four separate calls and even the news that they were voting to go overwhelm the hijackers. So I would say that did occur. Mistrustful as I am of reports these days, there's just so much news to give you. There has been a raid at a hotel in the Philippines that apparently is in some way connected, they say, to the terrorist attacks in our country. It goes on. Normal? No, not even close. You know, they're talking about the new changes. Some people are saying that there is a lot of new security. Some in some airports that are already open are saying not a big deal. They checked my ID twice. That's all I saw. Of course, they're going to stop knives from going on board. Can't take a knife on an airplane anymore. But, you know, as I suggested last night to this audience, it's easy to make a weapon. It's really easy to make. They do it, and they're called shanks in prison, and they make them all the time and stab people dead with them all the time. So we've got a lot of work to do. And it's going to cost a lot of money, and we're about to go to war. So, there are a couple of questions that I've got for you tonight. One that jumped out at me right away with the talk of a national ID card again. It reignites the whole controversy of trading a security for freedom. Freedom for security. All right, would you be willing to carry a national ID card that you would be forced to present, I suppose, when you get on an airplane and in a lot of other places to see armed guards with submachine guns around? Northwest Airlines was going to start today, and then they said no, they had credible information of a continuing threat, and so they said now they're saying maybe they'll resume flights tomorrow, maybe. So what a mess. Normal? Mm-hmm. No, not even close. Would you carry a card that would ID you? And just what kind of war, this first war of the 21st century, what kind of war are we about to wage? Or maybe do you want us to wage? Have you thought about that? An awful lot of people calling for some pretty awful things. You know, they want nukes, they want Afghanistan, Pakistan, whatever, whoever won't cooperate, turn to glass. You just would not believe some of the messages. Here's one agreeing with me. Miss Bell, heard you last night state what I had been saying for at least 24 hours. The passengers on Flight 93 who prevented more mayhem from being committed with their plane should be given the Congressional Medal of Honor. Thank you for voicing it. Who do I call? I say call your representative. With regard to the photograph that we've got on my website, if you haven't seen it, you really ought to take a look-see. Clearly showing at the moment of impact on the second tower, of the aircraft impacting the second tower, while the fireball is just freshly there, there is an unmistakable picture of a devil, an evil entity, in the smoke of that explosion. And somebody writes, it's amazing, Art, that people will look for any kind of symbol when a tragedy happens. The devil depicted in the smoke is a horrible coincidence. Nothing more. Whoever did this evil is evil, but hardly the devil incarnate. Each person should take a good look into their own hearts and minds as they undertake thoughts of hatred, racism, jealousy, or any other number of negative behavior patterns. Well, I'm certainly in agreement with that. But, my friend, I don't think I would be so quick to dismiss the possibility of real evil in this world and real evil at work in the deed that was done. This isn't war, not war as we know it. War as we know it means soldiers fighting each other. It means attacking military targets, munitions, dumps, that kind of thing. That's war. This isn't war the way we know it, or the way we've ever known it. And the world is going to be changed forever. Normal? Oh, no, I don't think so. Not even close. I understand it would be nice to get back to normal, but we're not there. So in a moment, I will open up the lines and do what I've been doing every single night that I've done a program. And that's simply to allow you to say what you want to say. Everybody else is, you know, it's the march of experts. And I, as I said, that's fine. And I'm not going to try and compete with those putting up the experts. I'm going to give you all a voice instead. So we're going to do that all night again tonight and every night until, I guess, you've said what you want to say. And we'll know when that time is. I'll know when that time is. So will you. Stay right where you are. All right, here we go. As promised, we're going to go directly to open lines. Good morning. On the first time caller line, you're on the air.
How you doing, Art?
You know, I sort of described how I was doing a little while ago. I'm not getting much sleep. I think that I'm getting wrapped up in this story, and it's impossible not to. I watched CNN earlier today. As there was one of the female, you know, there was one of the female reporters in New York City, and she was interviewing these frantic people who were holding up pictures, hundreds of them, pictures of their loved ones, and begging for any information at all. And the lady who was doing this report, at the end of it, she just broke down in tears and cried. Yeah. Couldn't take any more of it.
It's been rough, I think, on the whole country, obviously.
Yeah.
And I've been watching the programs as well, nonstop. I'm 22 years old, currently unemployed, but very patriotic. And there's two points that I feel have been maybe not voiced enough.
Okay.
The first of which, there's been talk of a new memorial, kind of like what they've done in Oklahoma, for all these people that have lost their lives so tragically. And they have some workers that are currently going through the wreckage and obviously trying to help as much as they can. And one of these workers was on a program, I'm not going to mention which one, but he made a direct appeal to Mr. Bush, President Bush, that there be no construction of a monument, but instead that they rebuild the towers bigger and better. And I thought to myself at first, well, it's kind of rude to say, well, let's not monumentalize these people, but instead I thought it was a very graceful comment to rebuild these and show that the American spirit has not been broken.
Why? Let's do both. Why not rebuild them and put a gigantic plaque on each one that says this is in memorial to...
Absolutely.
How about
bigger
that?
And better.
Yeah.
And my second comment, there's been arguments over what we should do about this. Being a young individual, this is kind of pertaining to me more than some others because I may be the one going over there. I am absolutely 100% ready to do whatever I have to do to protect a way of life that I consider more civilized and more courteous and better in almost every way that I can think of. Now, I'm not trying to take anything away from their religion. But that's exactly my point. That's what's so beautiful about America.
Well,
it doesn't matter what your beliefs are.
I have been fortunate, sir, to have traveled all around the world. I've been around the world several times. And so I've been in a lot of countries a lot of countries, and I can tell you right now that even the best, and there are some really good ones out there, as well as really bad ones, but even the best isn't even close to what we have.
Yes, sir. And I'll be brief. I'm honestly taking up too much time, I understand, but give me 30 more seconds. This is going to be very rough, and with what the President and Secretary of State are saying, the conclusion that I see happening, it's not nuclear war. It's not laser-guided weapons. It's people like myself going in there as ground troops.
It's going to have to be.
And showing that these rogue governments, these protectors of terrorists, that it's not to be tolerated, that human life is more valuable than they could ever imagine, apparently.
All right, well, I've got something that I want you then and everybody to think about. And here it is. In your memory at your age, and those who are considerably older than yourself, there will be no memory of what a real war is like. There will be very little memory other than some black and white pictures, perhaps, of those who died in Vietnam. And that was the last real war in terms of, you know, straight-on combat, or a great deal of it. Americans have a different concept, young Americans, of war these days, and they partly because the press has sanitized what we see on television. It's like we're pushing buttons. We get it done by pushing buttons, right? Missiles fly, cruise missiles. We do it all at a great distance. We fly airplanes that can't be seen by radar. In and out, kaboom. Well, if we're really going to go get bin Laden, it turns out he's the one. And we have to go get him. There's no way we're going to get him short of sending men in to take him and to end or to kill him. I expect that's probably what it'll be. We'll go in there and I think we'll probably kill him and his cohorts, as many as we can get in our sights. I expect we're going to be going after the infrastructure of one country, if not more. We're probably going to be bombing military capability. And certainly we will bomb and send in lots of cruise missiles, but they're going to have to be followed. I mean, that'll get his head down, but it won't get him. We've got plenty of evidence of that. We're going to have to send men in on the ground. So what do you think we have directly ahead of us? This is going to be, he was right about one thing, it's going to be rough. East of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Hi, Art. How are you?
I'm okay, sir.
I live in Cincinnati. My name's Tom.
Yes,
and, I speak for a lot of other people when I say I want to help. You know, I just can't jump in a car and go up to New York and, you know, start looking and stuff. So I kind of want to issue a challenge to all the Art Bell listeners. For those who want to help but really can't get up there, let's give blood. Let's take some water down to our water and clothes, down to our shelters. And the Red Cross, and I was on to the World Trade Center's website, and if you go there, it's a direct link to the Red Cross. If we could just go there and, you know, in our own towns, you know, give blood, give clothes, give water, you know, we all can do our share, and it will help.
It is helping, sir. Thank you. Even the gesture and words like yours, well, they help.
Drifting on the sea of heartbreak, trying to get myself ashore for so long, for so long. Listening to the stranger stories, wondering where it all went wrong for so long, for so long.
Thank you.
Meanwhile, in the Kingdom of Nye, from west of the Rockies, dial 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach Art at 1-775-727-1222 or use the wildcard line at 1-775-727-1295. To reach Art on the toll-free international line, call your AT&T operator and have them dial 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell on the Premier Radio Networks.
You know, I think now when people talk about the good old days, we're going to understand very well indeed what the demarcation line is, because we just met it. We've got a lot behind us, immediately behind us, and oh Lord, we have a lot in front of us. It looks like the United States is going to war, and I wonder what kind of war it's going to be, don't you? We'll get back to the phones in just a moment. To update breaking news, Fox, which had been reporting fire of 10 police had been found underneath rubble because of a cell phone call, now have inserted the word believed to be alive. Before they said alive, now they're saying believed to be alive. These stories are absolutely incredible in the way they're being handled. I mean, absolutely. I noticed that CNN has not picked that story up yet, probably feeling rather burned over the story earlier today. You can imagine how that would affect the people. I'm told hundreds of people waiting with their pictures of their loved ones, crying, trying to get the media to hold up their picture and their telephone number. You can imagine how this news hits them. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Art, how are you? You're an old friend, even though we haven't talked before.
Well, thank you very much. Where are you?
I'm in Florida. I'm in Jensen Beach, Florida, but obviously from my accent, I'm originally from New York.
I hear it in your voice, all right?
Yes, sir. And I want to send my prayers to all those Sydney guys, the first response people.
That's the only thing you can do right now, really. There are other actions you can take, but prayer is a pretty good idea. It works.
You know, there was a double shift from Rescue One, FDNY. They all went together, and we haven't heard a word about them.
I know. I know hundreds, thousands, actually, maybe 10,000. And I understand exactly what you're saying. I watched a news anchor cry after she held up so many pictures from people who want to know about their loved ones. She broke down into tears herself. This whole thing it's beyond all reason and all belief, and it just...
Let me try to give you a different perspective on this. I'm composed now.
Sure, go ahead.
I heard your introduction. I don't want to get too specific, but I was discharged from the United States Armed Forces in June of 1971. I was a PO thereafter. I left the job in 1977. And my perspective on this was that I saw the World Trade Center being built. And, numerous times there were several of us that commented about how that thing stuck up like a sore thumb. And how we could not imagine that even planes from JFK or LaGuardia wouldn't wind up flying into it. And this is my ultimate point. Now we're in the position of war, and we're talking about terrorists. And the thing that irks me the most is that, you know, the United States is going after governments that harbor and protect terrorists.
Mm-hmm.
And, don't misunderstand me. I'm a true blue all-American. And I have brothers who have died in this thing.
Well...
But I have to tell you something.
Yes.
You know, there's some obvious things. I mean, all of us commented to ourselves, man, that thing is a sore thumb, and someone's going to fly a plane into it. I mean, I said that in 1977, and here's my point.
Yeah, I don't understand your point. I mean,
my point is it was obvious to us that thing was a sore thumb. And you know what?
That's a very subjective view. It's your view that it was a sore thumb. I didn't think of it that way at all. As a matter of fact, to the contrary, I thought of the World Trade Center Twin Towers as an integral part of the way your brain thinks of New York. I really, really disagree with you. It's, I suppose, something people can disagree on, but it was part of the skyline that I have now seen so many times that it was imprinted on my brain, not as a eyesore at all, but as a part of a beautiful skyline. You know, you watch all the New York shows, and they always show the skyline. Looking at the skyline in the last 2 or 3 days has been one damn eerie sight. And they've shown it again and again because, you know, they get off and they get pictures of the smoke rising at a great distance. And when they do, they've got the whole skyline in their sights. And looking at that gap where the Twin Towers were is really eerie to me, completely eerie, like no planes in the sky eerie, you know. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art.
Hello.
You know, obviously I don't know who did it, but in the process of looking for the culprit, we need to consider all possibilities. In that spirit, we shouldn't rule out the possibility that this is a New World Order plot.
Mm-hmm.
And if it is, there would be a telltale sign.
Well, I don't think it is.
Well,
I think all the evidence is pointing very strongly. In fact, there's so many people involved, sir.
Well, see,
you know, if it came down to the same old one guy did it, assisted by nobody, I'd be there with you, maybe.
There's a telltale sign in this, in finding out if it is a New World Order.
And what would that be?
And that would be, look at the people who normally would have been in that building who were not there. And is there a common thread?
Well, okay. I suppose people could look at that, but I don't think that's going anywhere. I don't think that one has legs at all. Not at all. Again, if this had been the sole perpetrator story, you know, no connections, oh, no conspiracy, none of that baloney, then I might be getting on that. I'm tempted to get on that bandwagon with you, but this is very different. With as many as, what are they saying, 50 people, and if you listen carefully to what the administration is saying, it's obvious that they now believe pretty firmly that it was bin Laden and company. But a gigantic conspiracy, many, many people involved. At this point, that seems very clear. Of course, I'll be cautious. I'm willing to be cautious and keep an open mind. I'm just going on all the available evidence thus far. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Art.
Yes.
God bless you and God bless America.
Thank you.
This is Marcus from Kansas City.
Yes, sir.
I'd like to make 2 points. First of all, I hear a lot of talk about we're going to have to sacrifice freedoms for security, and I'm totally opposite in that direction. I think this is the time, America, we need to fight for every inch of our freedom. Don't give an inch. This is the time we stand up for our freedoms.
Well, all right, what constitutes freedom? If somebody tells you that for America to be able to fight this kind of act, which was arguably horrible, right?
Obviously.
Absolutely horrendous. Something we're about to go to war over. In order to fight that, we might have to carry an ID card.
I already have one. It's called a driver's license. So I don't need a national ID card. I've already got a driver's license.
I think they have something a little more secure in mind.
I would.
You would what?
No, I'd be totally against that.
You wouldn't carry one?
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
It just depends on how circumstances progress. One more point I'd like to make, and people are not going to like to hear this, and I don't want to believe it myself, but I believe for a long time that this country has a morality problem. And I believe in Revelations, I believe this is a fulfillment of biblical prophecy.
You do?
I do believe it is. And I didn't want to believe it until I realized in chapter 17 of Revelations, in verse 9, it says, here's the mind that has wisdom. The seven heads are the seven mountains on which the woman sits. Then I realized just a little while ago, and I decided to try to call in, was there were seven buildings there.
In fact, that's accurate, I believe. So, biblical prophecy, God punishing America, huh? I don't think that I buy into that. How come, you might wonder. Well, again, as I told a caller earlier, I've traveled around the world now several times. I've been in good countries and really bad countries. from our point of view, freedom-loving point of view, really bad countries. And we're the best. I mean, by a country mile, we're the best. We're not perfect. Everybody knows that. How moral are we compared to other countries? Better than most. Would God punish America? I don't know. I don't know. I'm not God. I don't talk to God. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, is that me?
Yeah, it's you.
Hey, great. I have so many things I can talk about. But let's just go with the last caller there. And what length will we go to keep our freedom? Mm-hmm. You're talking about ID card?
Mm-hmm.
I think the direction the president would like to go here is finally get that implant, that tattoo, the ID that they can tell where every citizen is at every minute.
Well, you know, it's in our future somewhere.
Right.
If it's an ID card tomorrow, it's going to be a real fancy, high-tech ID card. You know that, right?
Well, it's going to be more than that. It's going to be able to still know exactly where we are at every second.
It'll get to that. I'm sure it will.
But this is a good excuse to get that way.
Yeah, it's our job to fight that.
Yeah. Hey, my opinion here is I'm really... All the hatred here is really bothering me.
After listening to the news all day today, is there any way at all that you believe that this is over?
Oh, Lord, no. And it's so scary. There is an easy way to make it end very quickly and have peace in the world here, and that's by giving the Palestinians a place to live. Everybody is saying, why is this happening? And it's as simple as, here, look at it this way.
You know, if we... somehow, politically, managed to pull that off. You know, there have been discussions about perhaps giving the Palestinians... Oh, listen to me, sir. Listen to me for a moment. There have been discussions about giving the Palestinians part of Jordan, for example.
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing that's been on the table hither and yon every now and then.
What's the matter?
But even if we gave the Palestinians a home in Jordan, don't you for one second think that Syria and other Arab nations would not continue to, in every way they could think of, pursue the extinction of Israel?
No, not at all.
Oh, no, I disagree totally with you.
They have to learn. They've got 3,500-year history of not getting along with their neighbors, and it has to change.
I say again, it's not going to change. And you just quoted the good reason why. It hasn't been over Palestinians, my friend, for 3,500 years. It's a deep, abiding hatred, and they're going to want Israel to not exist until they get over that. Nothing's going to change. First time caller line, you're on the air.
Yes, hi, Art. I'm calling from Florida.
Yes, ma'am.
And I don't know, a while back you had a fellow on that has developed hydrogen power. And I'll tell you, if there's a time that we need hydrogen power, it is now.
Well, there are a number of people that have developed hydrogen power.
Right. No, I understand. But I know that he has been talking with oil companies and the government.
Mm-hmm.
And they better start listening to him. That's all I have.
Well, it's already well underway in Canada, ma'am. Thank you very much, and take care. Wildcard line, you are on the air.
First time callers, area code 775-727-1222.
East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Yeah, this is Steve from Smyrna, Tennessee.
Hello, Steve.
Hey, Nostradamus was only off by 2 years. Remember that?
Are you reading that thing that's going around on the Internet?
I don't have Internet.
You don't have Internet?
No.
Okay,
no.
So you're referring to the 1999 prediction.
Yeah.
There are so many different interpretations of what Nostradamus was trying to say,
mm-hmm,
that I'm not convinced.
Well, I mean, Bin Laden's the king of the terrorists.
He certainly is. He's been known to wear a blue turban on top of that. How about that?
Right, and his terror comes from the sky.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever happened to those people that went to Gulf Breeze? Remember they were talking about the American cities being under martial law and stuff like that? Remember that?
I do recall, yes.
Well, I mean, could there be something to that, too?
Well, there could always be something to it, but listen, I think that's something in our favor. You know, if ever there was a time when you would think martial law would be declared, have any of you thought about this? This would be that time. The time everybody feared, when the government, when everybody said, look, the government will take this opportunity to turn us into an immediate police state, right? The government will declare martial law. That will be how they will do it. And yet, with everything that's going on, And they have every excuse in the world right now to declare martial law. They have not yet done so. Why? Because Americans are basically behaving. What's going on out there is a lot of anger building. You can hear it in these phone calls. But there's a lot of grieving going on, too. Grieving. There's anger, but it's being restrained. It's so far only vocal. And there's been no martial law declared. The American people are basically behaving themselves. So, I mean, factor that into your thinking. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art. I just wanted to talk to you about those pictures.
On the website?
Yeah, yeah.
The photographs of the, I mean, they are, number one, they are unretouched.
Yeah, no, that wasn't it. I was just going to tell you that the morning of the attacks, I was actually sleeping kind of late. But I had nightmares the entire morning, and I just woke up a couple of times. Do you remember the guy from The Cell? Did you see that movie?
No.
Well, there was a really evil person, and he was in my dreams. And I just think it was significant that I was, as this was happening, I was having evil dreams. And then there's these pictures on these buildings. It was just a personal experience I wanted to share.
Do you believe in real evil?
I'm not sure. I wish it didn't exist, but I think it does.
So do I.
Yeah.
The way I think that we have a God, I think we also have a good God. We have evil as well, real evil.
Yes.
And I don't think that it's, what did one of my emailers say about this thing? He said it was the devil depicted in the smoke, according to this emailer, is a horrible coincidence.
Yes.
I don't think it's that much of a coincidence, and I don't think that it's, I think it's exactly what it seems to be.
Yes.
Thank you very much for the call. I think it's exact. It's a horrendous picture. I mean, you be the judge. The young man who emailed me this photograph, this unretouched photograph that was circulated widely in the media, so you certainly are welcome to check it out for yourself. It is unretouched. It's just, it's astounding, absolutely astounding. And there's no way in the world, folks, in my opinion, and you're welcome to render yours to me or to anybody else you talk to, that this is any sort of coincidence. It is exactly what it seems to be. And then I suppose you could say things like, what are the odds? Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hello.
Yeah, hello. Hi, Art. This is Raymond calling from Michigan.
Hi, Raymond.
You know, I hear a lot of people talking, what good will it do to, say, bomb a country that might harbor a terrorist, say, like Afghanistan, to just bomb the country? Well, if you bomb the heck out of a country and that terrorist has to leave there for his life, and then you find out where he is and you bomb that country and he has to leave there, eventually these countries are going to say, don't come here, we're not going to harbor you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, look what happened to those other countries. So eventually he's not going to have a place to go.
When you say, I'd like to define this, when you say bomb a country, what does that mean to you?
Go after every bit of communication they have, their fuel lines, everything that keeps the government running, that keeps the country running, so the government and the heads of it will say, you know, we can't afford to have you here. Look what they'll do if they know you're here.
Good. I'm with you all the way. With you all the way. Infrastructure, baby, take it out. Those who actually did
everything.
This, take them out. And
right.
Don't bring them back unnecessarily for court. If this is war, then as they killed so many of us, I have no compunction about going over there and shooting them. Dead. Deader than doornails. And then take out the infrastructure of the country that's been harboring them. I have no problem with that. The only time and moment I have a problem is people who keep saying, we need another Nagasaki or Hiroshima. In other words, bombing civilian population. We don't need to do that.
I can't support that. Yeah, I can't support that either. I think you're 100% right.
There's a lot of that going around right now. But there's a lot of anger. Understandable anger.
Yeah, it's simmering, that's for sure, but, you know, time is going to, I think, help our decision-making.
It's churning is what's happening. A lot of people like me who were in utter shock.
Yep.
And I really was in shock for a couple of days. I didn't come out of shock. Just real shock. I mean, just sort of, duh, shock. That's converting now to anger.
Well, hopefully it's constructive anger.
Well, some of it is. Have a good morning, sir.
Thank you.
Take care.
It's been a too long time with no
chance to get better. Find a